listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 118. 118, Scott.
118, John. 118. And I'm back in the studio.
You're back in the studio.
Right on.
Saying foul language that my wife can hear.
Right.
That's great.
Because you have a curtain.
Not a door.
Where a door should be. She's right upstairs.
Yeah.
And I was saying some foul things.
Sorry, honey. You have to get used to it. Scott is a dirty man.
Let's get right into it, John.
Right into it.
Before we talk about our weeks, I want to talk about the future. Because the future is a joke.
It is.
I just found out that it is a very good possibility that I will be traveling to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for work. A Wednesday through a Friday.
Really?
You know what that means?
What's that mean?
I may be able to hook up with the mediocre show.
Ah, right.
Yeah, I don't know if those guys, you know, they may be like, yeah, fuck that. Fuck him. Pole smoker. Cocksucker.
Yeah. You know what you're going to find out is that you're going to be like, oh my God, these guys are fucking badass, man. They live in a really fucked up neighborhood, man, where they're getting shot at. And you're going to be curling up in the fetal position while they ass rape you.
No. I wouldn't let them do
either that. Either that or you're going to come back all tattooed up and have one of those big giant earrings where it's just like a big hole in your ear. You know,
I do want to get a tattoo, you know, and those are the guys that can hook me up, right?
A tattoo?
A tattoo.
Tattoo?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm a little anxious. I'm a little nervous because what if, you know, I try to get in contact with them. They're like, yeah, we have other things to do, all right? Just don't.
Oh, yeah. Give us a call. We'll give you directions. you know what? Don't even call. We'll just tell you how to get there. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't call us. We'll call you.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't tell us where you're staying. Let us try to figure it out.
Wet cunt.
That's what's going to happen.
But on, they spent a lot of time talking about the Baconator. I had my first Baconator, John.
And oh, the Baconator's the best, man.
For some reason, I thought it was a breakfast sandwich.
No. Yeah.
But I had one. And now when we do road trips, that's the only time we ever eat fast food is when we do road trips.
Right.
Instead of pulling off into a McDonald's, I'm going to be trying to get the family to pull off into the Wendy's. You know what I'm saying?
To do the Baconator.
So I can get the Baconator.
Yeah. I also like the other one they had. It was like with hot peppers and shit. I can't remember what it's called. It had bacon on it. It had hot peppers on it. It had like a cheese sauce. Like a pepper jack cheese, like and I think mushrooms too. I mean, it was this nasty pile of shit, and it was good.
That is one big pile of shit.
Sure was.
All right, John. Now I don't know, anything interesting happened to you this week? Not me. I can't. You know, nothing really to talk about except our Friday night. Friday evening.
You actually
together.
Got to come out. That was.
Yeah. What do you mean? Come. I actually got to come out.
Yeah.
I get to go out whenever I want.
Oh yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Whatever.
You're such a full of shit.
And so, you called me up, and we made.
I'm not. I'm not saying that your wife has anything to do with it. I'm saying that when you want to come out, you're too scared to ask her.
It's crap. How did I get out on Friday? How did I get out on Friday if I'm too scared? Huh?
I had to go over there.
Yeah, you picked me up because I'm on the way.
Say
to the theater.
Excuse me, Mrs. Scott. Can Scott come out and play for a while?
So you called me up. We decided on Cloverfield.
Yeah.
We decided on.
She wouldn't have liked it anyway, right?
Oh no, she doesn't like those kind of movies. Movico.
I don't think my wife would either.
We went up into the 21 and over section.
Movico.
Where you get your assigned seats and it's like a lazy boy you get to sit in.
Right.
And you get to bring your big 24-ounce beer in there.
Yeah, which costs $9.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, I had a, what did I have, a Glenlivet or Knob yeah. Creek? What
oh,
did I get?
My God.
And they charged $2 for ice?
Ice.
Just for ice.
Well, it was, I had a beer, and you had the Glen on the rocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
$16.
And that was a 12-ounce beer, right?
Yours, yeah. Yours was 9. No, mine was like a 16-ounce. It was a pint.
A pint.
Yours was, what was it? Glenlivet? Yeah, so it was like $9 for that and $2 for the rock. So it was like $11. And my beer was $5.
Yeah, that's
what
ridiculous.
The fuck was that? I saw it. I'm like, I walk up to the chick and she's like, I got it. And she's keying it in and I look and there's 3 items on there. I'm like, well, we order 2. And then I see rocks, $2. $2 for fucking ice.
You know, next
what
time
is that,
we go.
Fuel surcharge or something? What is that shit? Is that because of oil?
Next time we go, I'll bring a little plastic baggie with ice, and I'll just order it straight up.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
And then take my little plastic baggie out and put the ice in.
It's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. But so was the goddamn movie, John. So was the movie.
Yeah.
So we get there a little bit early. We sit down. We have a couple of drinks. The service was so goddamn slow, you didn't even get to order food.
No.
And then we're waiting for special ed. We're special
as
ed.
As usual.
The third wheel, special ed, ruins my date night.
Yeah.
So he finally shows up. We get in there. And
ruins your date night.
This is one of the best movies I've seen. I can't remember since when, John. I don't know, but I was digging this movie.
I was like, oh, if I got to sit through this whole movie with him next to me going, oh, God. Oh, this guy's a faggot.
I didn't say that.
This guy's a fucking homo. Well, how can this guy be a vice president?
I did have some issues at the beginning.
You know what? I hope all these people die. I hate everybody. I hate everybody in this movie. I'm going, Jesus fucking Christ.
And the movie delivered. It killed them all.
Killed them.
That was great.
Don't spoil it. Oh, Jesus.
Well, we don't know. The one chick may have gotten away. We don't know.
Yeah.
In the helicopter. But you're right on there, John. The first 20 minutes, it's this party for this guy's going away. He's going to Japan. He got this big promotion. He's vice president. The guy walks in the door. They ask him to give a speech. The guy can't even get a goddamn sentence out. And I'm thinking, vice president of what? High school? You said high school?
Yeah. He's a high school vice president in the student council.
But the apartments these people had.
What cunt?
Overlooking Central Park. That had to be an unbelievable amount of money.
I'd be like, why would you want to move to fucking Japan if you got this kick-ass... There's no nice apartments in Japan like that.
And that thing was huge.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was nice.
It's all these...
It's some dough.
Arrogant, pompous-ass...
Punks.
Punks. Vice president. I still can't get over that.
But I got to say, the funniest fucking guy in the whole movie is the cameraman.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Bud.
I mean, he's just this, like, dopey...
Well, you know, even that, where he's trying to hit up on the girl or trying to talk to the girl.
Yeah.
I mean, even that was like high school behavior.
Yeah.
Come on, grow up.
Hey, hi.
How do you hang in circles where people have this type of apartment in New York and be such a goddamn idiot is what I don't understand.
So you're absolutely right. Like a computer programmer and like you and make billions of dollars and be a big dork.
I was never a big dork. I always had a way with the ladies, John.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to go for broke here.
You're exactly right. The first 20 minutes, I'm like, I don't like any of these people. None of them. I hope they all fucking die.
And you had to let me know about it every minute of those 20 minutes.
Yes. But then once the monster shows up, you didn't hear from me anymore, did you?
No.
Except when I was cackling in laughter.
Although you were doing a couple of, whoa! It was a great movie, man.
Yeah, it was. The more I think about it,
I am so glad we sat there and not way up in front like we usually do.
Oh, right.
I would have thrown up for sure.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was complaining about is.
This camera. Oh.
It reminds me.
Why can't they hold the camera up? What the fool is running this camera?
Yeah, I've filmed parties before. And sometimes I'll give the camera to my brother-in-law or my cousin to film. And when you watch it, back again, you can tell where I'm filming, and then where my brother-in-law or cousin are filming because the camera's goddamn all over the place.
Right,
and it drives me insane. And it was the same thing, but then they kind of explained it away with HUD because the guy never actually ran a camera. I mean, he was like, "What? How do I do this? What is this? Just film, okay? Just film the party." So that was kind of goddamn annoying. But I guess, you know, some people think it lends to the authenticity of it.
Right. I thought it did.
But then again, it's a government file, right?
Yeah.
And who's viewing it? I mean, we were viewing it as the movie, but who was actually reviewing this thing? And why would they even have that party shit in there? If all they're concerned about is the attack, they would have just lopped out that 20 minutes, right?
Possibly.
But it.
I mean, why would they lop it out? It's
for our benefit, it's kept in, so that there's a story there that a movie can be sold. But
there might be lawsuits, so they want to make sure they have everything.
The 20 minutes is so important, especially for me, because in my case, it made me despise these people.
Well, I think maybe that was the whole thing. They had to put that 20 minutes of annoyance.
But was that their intent? Was that their intent, though? Like, usually when you want to build suspense and tension, you want the audience to connect with the characters.
Right.
I didn't connect with any of them. I wanted them all to fucking die. So, to me, it became a comedy, like a black comedy, instead of a horror thriller.
Horror.
But, like, not only that, but the concept, the perspective of the one camera of just some guys documenting this event on a video camera, I thought was just really creative
Stellar.
The way they did it.
Stellar.
Yeah. And then having the old tape in there that was being taped over, but you would see glimpses of this guy with this chick.
Yeah.
I thought that was very creative.
Good luck, fucker.
Now, John, I don't know if you know this, but the film has no musical score. And music for the end credits did not begin
until
1 minute and 30 seconds after.
Are you sure?
The credits
I could swear
started rolling.
There was a soundtrack. At least that's what Special Ed said.
Yeah, that's one of the first things Special Ed said when the movie ended. What did he say, John?
He said, wow, man, I really like the soundtrack in there. I'm like, what? There was no soundtrack. Yeah, there was. No, there was no. Why would there be a soundtrack if it's one guy holding the fucking camera? The U.S. government put a soundtrack in there?
Maybe the guy had a boombox on his other shoulder.
And he was like, wow. Yeah, I guess there wasn't one. And... The next day, my wife tells me Special Ed came over to pick up the kids or something to take them to dance class or whatever it is that happens on Saturday. I don't even know what my kids do. He told the wife. He told the wife before I could what he said. Yeah. The first thing I said after the movie was over, I really like the soundtrack. There was no soundtrack. It was funny. Hello?
Hello.
You there?
Yeah.
What are you doing, scratching your balls with your lips?
No, the other thing about this, here's some other thing. I think we are, during the first weekend of the release, many theaters posted signs warning guests that the handheld camera movements may cause motion sickness. It didn't for me. It was just irritating. But then after the monster showed up, it was fine.
Yeah.
And then they said the film was let me start over. The movie was filmed using the Panasonic HVX200 digital video camera. I thought it was a Sony camera for some reason. But they're saying it's Panasonic. No, what's up with that?
Panasonic. What do you mean, what's up with that?
I thought it was a Sony.
Who?
Well, like during the credits, or the, not the credits, but the opening of the movie.
Yeah.
Sony, the logo Sony comes on for like 5 seconds.
Where?
In the movie.
Well, maybe they want you to think it's a Sony Handycam.
Because that camera was the greatest camera ever. Yeah. I mean, the battery lasted the entire day.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times it...
Into the next day.
Took an explosion, yeah, or got crushed, or the guy ran and fell over.
Yeah.
And that thing kept going.
It was great. I love the movie, man. I can't wait to see it again.
You going to go to the theater to see it again?
You got to see it in the theater.
Yeah, yeah.
What am I going to see it online?
I have nobody to see it with. Will, like, your wife go with you to see that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my wife would be interested.
Well, it's hard to say. She said she wanted to see it, but after the motion sickness thing came out, she wasn't sure if she'd dig it or not with all that shaking.
I think it's the first 20 minutes. If you can get over that, then you're fine.
Yeah.
Now, surprisingly, John, I looked at the box office.
Yeah.
Guess what movie is tops at the box office?
I don't know.
Meet the Spartans.
What the hell's that?
It's one of these fucking parody movies or satire movies.
Oh,
where
meet
they
the parents kind of,
where they take all the current movies from the last 2 years and make fun of them.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who the fuck goes to these things? Who buys tickets to that
the
shit?
The young punks, man.
What's wrong with the youth? When you were 13, would you go see that dumbass movie? I wouldn't see that movie. You would?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Oh, like you didn't see Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds is an insult that you compare that with Meet the Spartans. Revenge of the Nerds is a great goddamn movie.
Cinematic genius.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's cinematic genius, but it's a great movie. It's no Meet the Spartans. This, I went to IMDb, 2.9 out of 10. 2.9 out of 10. It's got to be one of the worst movies ever. Coming in second, Rambo.
Oh, my God. And you wanted to see that.
I did want to see that. 8.5.
No, let's see Cloverfield. I don't know, dude. Come on. Rambo's the bloodiest movie. Dude, Cloverfield is like the movie to go see. Yeah, but all that camera shaking, I don't know.
I'm very glad we went and saw Cloverfield.
I don't know if I can go.
It's a must-see. That is a must-see movie, Cloverfield.
Oh, my God.
But Rambo, 8.5 out of 10. 27 Dresses comes in third. 27 Dresses.
23.
Then followed by Cloverfield.
23 Dresses.
It's 27 Dresses.
No, it's not.
You want to bet a burrito?
Are you sure?
Come on, bring it on.
Who told
Come
you
on,
it's
let's
27?
Go. I'm telling you right now it's 27. Don't look it up before you bet
I'm
me.
Not
Come
looking
on.
It up.
Then let's bet.
I'm
then
not
you can look
bet
it up.
You. I'm going to bet you on something else.
Then Cloverfield. That gets an 8.0 out of 10. And then followed in fifth place by Untraceable. That's the tops of the box office. Meet the Spartans, number one. I can't believe
Meet
that.
Meet the Spartans.
I can't believe it. What is Cloverfield rated? It's not R, is it? It's like
PG-13, yeah.
What does that mean? You have to be 13 to get in?
Or accompanied by a parent, yeah.
All right, so I'm sure Meet the Spartans is at least PG-13, right? So these kids, they'd rather see Meet the Spartans than Cloverfield?
I don't know. I guess.
They're going to be in charge someday, John.
Who?
The 13-year-olds that are seeing Meet the Spartans instead of Cloverfield.
Well, maybe they're scared to see Cloverfield.
Yeah.
They're scared. Because there was nobody there when we were there.
Well, the premiere section was kind of filled up, but nobody was on the on the down low, John. On
right.
The down floor. Floor down.
On the down
downtown.
Floor.
Right on. Just a couple other movies I saw there, Johnny. You see any other movies?
No.
Cloverfield, that I get four Spiny Normans.
Nice.
It's a must-see. It's a must-see.
Oh, no, I did see one. I saw, I watched Family Guy, Blue Harvest.
Yeah.
You see that one?
I'm not sure. I might have.
It's the power goes out and what's his name, the dad?
Peter Griffin.
Peter Griffin decides to tell the kids about the greatest Star Wars movie ever.
Oh, right. I did see that,
and it's the New Hope played by all the characters from the Family Guy. It's pretty good.
Well, I saw Grease 2, John. You ever see Grease 2?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't even want to hear about it.
Grease 1 is barely watchable. But at least there's Grease some songs.
2.
Grease 2 is in my top 5 worst movies of all time.
Ah!
It is so horribly bad.
Did we do a top 10 worst movies?
I don't think we did. Maybe we should do that.
Oh, we got to do that.
Top 10 worst movies of all time by John and Scott. I'm writing that down right now, John.
All right.
I'll have mine sometime.
Oh, no. Wet cunt.
So, Michelle Pfeiffer's in this movie. And I guess maybe a month ago, she said she wants to redo Grease 2. And she wants to play the principal or something. But she was one of the pink ladies in Grease 2.
Yeah.
And she said it was one of the worst movies ever. And she's embarrassed by it. Oh. That's why she wants to redo it. And then my daughter, one of her friends, loaned it to her, and we watched it. And it is so goddamn awful. Adrian Zmed's in it, though, John. Adrian Zmed.
I don't know. Who's that?
You don't know who Adrian Zmed is?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Come on. What was the Tom Hanks movie where he was a bachelor and he was going to marry, what's that chick who's in the music videos with Whitesnake? Tawny Kitaen. He's going to marry Tawny Kitaen. Bachelor Party.
Yeah,
Adrian Zmed is like his best man Bachelor Party. That's Adrian Zmed.
Oh yeah,
okay man.
He's not. He's not the guy trying to kill himself, right?
Kill himself?
Yeah.
Oh no, that's
in Bachelor Party.
No, that not that guy.
Where he's trying to cut his wrist with an electric razor.
No.
Oh.
Now, getting back to our top 10, Grease 2. Now, some movies are so bad they're good. Right?
Right.
Grease 2 is just flat out fucking bad. It's just awful. It's
flat
it's
out
embarrassing.
Fucking bad.
It's like a car wreck.
Embarrassing.
You know, you want to turn it off, but you got to see, can it get any worse? And it does. It's horrible. But then I saw
horrible.
Fracture. Have you heard about Fracture?
Yeah.
Out on DVD?
Yeah.
Fracture?
Yeah.
With Anthony Hopkins and Ryan Gosling.
I haven't seen it, but
it's a good
I've
one.
Heard of it.
It's a good one. It's Anthony Hopkins plays this ultra-brilliant engineer.
Yeah.
And finds out his wife is cheating on him. And he sets up this elaborate thing, and Ryan Gosling is a prosecuting attorney. It's a, you know, courtroom
right,
thing.
Right.
But it's good. I liked it. I liked it, John. I liked it. And then I got
there's kind of like
this must be what they mean by poetic justice
in that movie, isn't there?
There is. Well, you know, the wife's cheating on Anthony Hopkins, right? And then she's kind of a bitch too. And
bitch.
When Anthony Hopkins does what he does, it's like, yeah. I mean, he's justified. You know, why is he on trial?
Oh, wet cunt.
But there is a point in the movie where a cop goes to Ryan Gosling and he gives him a choice because he has no evidence left.
Yeah.
And he gives him a choice. He says, hey, man, I planted evidence. So if you need it, it's there. And Ryan Gosling tells him to go home.
Nice.
Nice. Talk about ethics right there, buddy. Right there.
Where's your moral compass?
Moral compass.
I had to hear that fucking thing after the movie.
From who?
You.
What are you talking about?
Ugh.
Oh, I was talking about special ed.
Well, we went to the Ram.
And, yeah, we went to the Ram.
Yeah, we brought up your house, and I said, "Oh, it's a four square, and it's American four square." And I said, "It has some its inspiration from the Frank Lloyd Wright." No fucking way! Fucking Frank Lloyd, Frank Lloyd Light,
Frank Lloyd Light,
fucking it. And special ed's an architect, so he idolizes Frank Lloyd Light. And
Frank Lloyd Light,
yeah. And I got a book about him. I know everything, you know, and this stuff. And you just start going off about what kind of a turd Frank Lloyd Light is. And how he stole his first drawing and turned it in to get his job. And special ed kind of said, well, I did the same thing, sort of. And oh yeah, oh, you steal, you lied. What's your fucking moral compass, man? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? I was like, whoa.
Come on.
Whoa.
I think you're a little carried away with the interpretation of me.
Well, at first I thought, wow, this is kind of funny. And then
I never get that excited.
Scott's he's leveling his eyes, like, right. He's getting close to special ed. He's doing the eye gaze over the glass. I'm thinking, what is he drinking that's getting him so fucking mental? What were you drinking?
I just want to disagree with you about the level of excitement that you portrayed.
Well, we got special ed in here. Because I was like, what the fuck is going on? At first, I'm like, yeah, your moral compass. Where do you...
I didn't raise my voice.
Where do you get your ethics from?
But I just started...
And you'd like interrupt him.
Rapid fire.
Well, blah, 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 blah. What is your moral compass? From your parents? Oh, your parents told you it's okay to lie? Oh, that's what... Blah, blah, blah.
See, again, did I really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bunch of shit.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I've rapid-fired questions. I most likely cut special ed off when he was answering, but I didn't raise my voice and talk like that.
Well, I heard you, and it was a pretty loud room, so.
Well, yeah. I needed to communicate.
Well, you weren't talking to me. You were talking to him, so I don't know why I needed to hear.
There were three people at the table.
It was loud.
What, did that make you uncomfortable?
Not three people in the whole place.
Did my questioning make you uncomfortable?
But the four square is inspired by the Prairie House style house, which is a Frank Lloyd Light home design. So you have a Frank Lloyd Light.
I do not have a
inspired
Frank
home.
Lloyd
yes, you do.
Light inspired home.
Look it up. Look up the history of an American four square.
Then
what a better
sell
burrito.
It. Then I'm going to sell
what
it.
A better burrito.
I'm going to sell it then.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Sell it. Because he was at the fucking turd. This fucking blah.
Well,
he cheated on his wife and six kids.
No,
and the butler killed everybody. And the blah, blah, blah. Like, holy shit. What is wrong with this dude?
I'm taking such offense to your portrayal of me. First of all, I didn't say anything about the butler.
Perception is reality, so shut up.
He didn't cheat on his wife. He left his wife and kids.
He went off about some butler burning a house down and killing someone.
That special ed went off on that tangent.
Oh.
If you're going to attribute stuff to me, make sure it's that I said it. This is how I was talking, John. Special
exactly.
Ed told the butler story. I never said he cheated on his wife. I said that he left his wife.
Left his wife.
Six
whatever.
Kids, just walked
left,
out.
Left, cheated.
Left him in Europe. Went to America. Just left him. Nothing. They don't get nothing.
So I don't want to live in a fucking house that was designed by Frank Lloyd Light.
Right on. And then it goes back to the conversation we've had before. When does... like we talked about Bobby Fischer. Bobby Fischer, a great chess player, but a complete mental case. So
you're not going to play chess anymore?
No, I'll play chess, but I won't use Bobby Fischer moves. Right? It'll be my own my own silent protest.
Hey, what was that? Did you just do a Bobby Fischer move? That fucking cocksucker. Oh, my God. It's like vitriol coming out of you.
Well, I think your characterization of me is way overboard, over the top there, John.
Hey, man, I'm taking a journalistic license. It's my story. It's my perception. That's what I saw.
All right. That's fine.
Yeah, come
so
on.
So the only thing
What's
about special ed, then, is where does it stop? Where does he draw the line with his ethics? That's all I want to know. That's all I was trying to drive at.
Yeah, right. Why?
Because I need to know. If I'm spending time with the guy, I need to know. I mean, is he going
to
sell me out if he gets the opportunity? Huh? Huh?
You would.
Oh, that's a bunch of shit.
Oh, we've talked about your integrity before.
I have great integrity.
Oh, BS.
When Ryan Gosling turned the police officer down in Fracture, I said, you know, I'd do the same thing, Ryan. That's a nice move. So I'm all about ethics
right,
and integrity.
Right.
Right on.
Right.
I have ethical challenges every week at work.
Yeah, what? Why is John... I can't wait till your wife says something about this soundbite, the wet C on here.
Yeah?
Yeah, that John came up with that. I don't know what... I don't know how that got... You know, he's got the buttons. I don't know.
No, I bring in clips for you to add to the library. I bring them in. It's your choice to play them.
No, you said, hey, man, here's a clip. You need to put this in the library. You need to play it. Here, play it first. Check it out. Here, listen to it. Play it first.
So you,
what? Cunt.
Yeah.
So you need.
And I am offended by it. But
know,
just for the show.
So you know
because
where to
you
file
want it.
It. So you know where
you,
to file
you
it.
You want it. See, there you go with your Machiavellian bullshit
integrity.
I told you
that. I said play it so you know where to file it.
How about this one?
What do you want to do?
Yeah,
all,
what
that's
about
all I'm
it?
Saying. That's all I'm saying.
What are you saying?
I
want to
know
it?
Where your moral compass is. That's all.
Because I bring in sound clips for the show?
The blame about me?
I don't blame about
I
you.
I know how you are.
I bring them in for the show so that you have sound clips to play in the show. Phil brought some clips in. I think Phil brought those... The one you just played, I think Phil brought that
saying,
in for a
I'm
news
just,
story.
I'm just saying.
What's your fucking
point? You motherfucker.
And then the last, I saw like the last hour of Jackass 2. Have you seen Jackass 2?
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah, that's, those guys are fucking insane, man.
Did you see the part where the guy drinks the horse sperm?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I have the one where they don't put the black bar over his lips.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh. Well, that was, you know, he just...
The Italian dude is just laughing. He's like, what the
The thing I thought was... I like the rodeo where they had the bowl come out.
Oh, yeah.
And,
That's great.
They did the last skit where they had the guy glue pubic hairs to make the beard.
Wasn't that great?
I thought they could have continued with that a little bit more.
But it was so goddamn funny because it wasn't just that. Not only did they do that, but they fucked with them with the guy coming out with the gun and throwing him in the trunk and driving like a maniac. Come on, man. I'm sorry.
And hitting him and kicking him.
Yeah.
And then he lost the accent really quickly.
Yeah. Okay, man. Okay, I'm just kidding. Hey, man. And he's yelling back towards the van or something. Get me out of this shit, man. I'm going to get killed. And then they come back and they go, hey, by the way, your beard is pubic hair. And he's spitting it out. And the one guy had crabs. Oh, that is wrong.
That is wrong, but.
There was, I swear to God, I never laughed so hard in my life. Joe and I went to see that, and I could not stop laughing. I could not stop. That was like the funniest. If that was me, I'd kick somebody's ass, man. Somebody'd have to go home bloody.
Oh, the other thing I remember is the fart helmet or
whatever.
Oh,
that's just... Oh. And then the guy pooped in the
yeah
in the funnel.
And I'm thinking, you know, those guys would be so fucking fun to hang around with. But it would be so
yeah, but you
goddamn
get hit
painful.
In the balls
right.
or something.
They would
just
come over and, you know,
just
for whatever
jack
reason.
You.
So,
oh, you fucker.
Then I had a great idea, especially with the writer's strike. They should do a Jackass reality show where you get like four or five of the Jackass guys, right? And then you bring in 12 knuckleheads that want to be like members of the Jackass crew.
Yeah.
And then these guys just fuck with them for 8 weeks. And then the last guy, the guy who doesn't quit, gets to be a yeah. part of the Jackass yeah. crew.
Oh, my God. Jackass tryouts. And oh.
And you know, the thing about it, like Johnny Knoxville makes the first movie, and I really don't remember him risking too much in the first movie.
Right.
I'm sure he did,
right.
but I don't remember it. Then he becomes kind of a movie,
yeah,
not
star.
A movie star, but making a living doing movies.
Yeah.
So then you think Jackass 2 rolls around, he'll just be there, but he's not really going to do anything.
Right.
But this guy's fucking insane.
Yeah, he's mental, man.
And that laugh he has. Everybody's the old guy with the balls hanging out. Oh, the other funny one was... Where he's the grandpa with the kid.
Yeah.
And he's giving the kid beer.
Yeah.
And those two guys.
Hey, fuck you, man. You fucking pussy.
And the one guy, hey, you want to take it outside? Hey, we're already outside.
Dummy. Oh, that was great. I got it, yeah, if you want to check it out. I got another one that I haven't watched yet. It's one with Steve-O. Hey, man, I got to take a piss. Something fierce, man.
Just one last comment. When Steve-O... Like when he did that beer bong thing with his ass, which I just got up to do something, and then I came back after it was over. I don't need to see that shit.
It's fucked up.
So
and then they drank it.
A whole thing about Steve-O, interested at all.
Why not?
Not at all.
Why
I mean,
not?
Steve-O is in a twisted area of Jackass that doesn't appeal to me.
Twisted area.
Like, I like when he jumps into ceiling fans and shit like that.
Yeah.
But sticking a thing up his ass for a beer bong or whatever the hell he was doing.
Well, it's the thing is that they, I don't know if they draw straws or what, but it could have been anybody that had to do that trick.
Oh.
So
we don't know the process.
Yeah, the process, like, there's a one scene where the guy drinks the jism.
Right.
And he's like,
well,
okay,
he says, let me do it so I don't have to do something.
I don't have to do something else. Yeah, like the beer bong up the ass, something like that, you know. So that's what he did. He volunteered to do it. Because everybody's got to do something, you know. And I don't know if the process is they draw straws or somebody has to volunteer or what it is. But
all right, man. So what song selection?
Anyway. Last night, I did go see the Chicago Rock Circus. We'll talk about that.
When you get back.
After this song.
Chicago
but
Rock
I
Circus.
I ran into some guys. One of the guys, a bass player, who used to play with Dan. Actually, he was the bass player in the latest, the 90s installment of, in the late 80s installment of Out of Order, punk band.
Right.
He's a kick-ass bass player. I went to see his band, and they're called Zipperhead. I've played like I'm a Bum, which is one of their tunes. Zipperhead, great band. They're not really playing out anymore, but there's this tune on their website, www.zipperheadrocks, Z-I-P-P-E-R, headrocks.com. And they have a MySpace, too, Zipperhead Rocks. MySpace.com/Zipperhead Rocks. And this song's called Fade Away, which is coming, is going to be in the soundtrack for the movie Death Walks the Streets. And it's going into production this year, I think.
Who's in that? Nicolas Cage?
No, it's, you know, some unknowns, but there's a website on it, too, Death Walks the Streets. There's a link from the...
Doesn't Death go wherever the hell he wants to?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
So anyways, this is Zipperhead, and the song is called Fade Away. Here it is. All right, that was Zipperhead with Fade Away. And it's Mark Kedrow on bass, Jim Kendall on drums, and Bob Remington on guitar. These guys fucking rock, man.
Were they there Saturday?
Kedrow was. Kedrow, this guy's a fucking maniac. Like I told you, we went to see them play at the Metro when he was playing with Out of Order for a big reunion show. Mm-hmm. And this is the band. This is him playing bass in this tune. Anyways, he's flicking lit cigarettes at people in the mosh pit. He's a maniac.
That's it? Lit cigarettes in the mosh pit?
Yeah. At people in the mosh pit. And, yeah. Well, he's a bass player, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned
that. What the bass players do.
I understand.
A little mental. But anyways, so I was talking to him. He was there with his drummer. Drummer has a studio, and that's where they record all their tunes. And they got some pretty kick-ass CDs on their website, so check them out, zipperheadrocks.com. They do a lot of more kind of bluesy kind of stuff, but I've seen them since back in the day when they were called Highway Child. This is back, man, when I first met my wife. We go to the bars all the time to see these guys play.
They're just phenomenal.
They play once in a while, like at the Double Door and stuff, or they'll play a big university show. But Kedrow told me last night that, he's like, it's hard because they're all original, and they go out and do these gigs, and everybody everywhere now is doing this fucking... this cover stuff. You know, I mean, cover's always been popular, but now it's like this thing, kind of like what we do and the Spanish
Fanatics
do.
Because us, man, we're cutting edge. Well, we are cutting edge.
We've been doing this for a long time, and now it's like Spasmatics, and you got Breakfast Club is another one. 16 Candles is another band.
You've always had the tribute bands.
Sort of. Some of them are like all tribute, like Arrah, and a couple other bands used to be strictly tribute, like Journey and all this stuff. And now they're just doing all these 80s and 90s covers. And last night I went to see Chicago Rock Circus thinking I was going to see this totally different thing, you know, that Volpe put together.
Magicians.
Yeah, the magicians were cool, but basically all it was we're going to have a magician do stuff while we're on a long-ass break. And pretty much it was just revamped Exide with a new drummer and a new bass player.
So that's it? So they just did covers?
Yeah.
And had a magician?
Yeah. And he was telling everybody it's going to be all new and it's all special and it's all this and all that.
They play Hot for Teacher?
No, but what
well,
they
there
did...
there you go.
What they, no, it's not all new. All they did was change the songs of the bands they've already been playing over the years. So instead of Hot for Teacher, they played Running with the Devil. Instead of... I forget what Kiss song they used to do before, they did Detroit Rock City.
And Dan was on our show.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll never play covers again.
Hey, I told you, man.
We should have pulled that clip for this show.
I'll tell you a story off the air that I heard that will solidify my theory about him being a swindler.
A swindler?
Yeah. Oh. I'm not going to say it on here because I don't want to get the guy who told me the story in trouble.
Right.
Because he'll know exactly who I'm talking about. But, yeah. It was... but I'll tell you what, dude. There must have been like 1,000 people there.
Well, Exide was a big band, and they did it right with the marketing as far as newsletters, email addresses. They let you know when they were playing next. We don't do any of that shit.
No, right, and we should. But, I'll tell you one thing about Dan, man. He knows how to do that shit. I mean, he knows how to put all that together. And, you know, and they're really good musicians. I mean, they played really awesome. There's no doubt about it. But it was the same shit for me. I was like, okay, this is great. I'm leaving. But it was so fucking crowded, dude. This place is big. You know how Famous Freddy's is.
I've heard of it.
It's big.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've been there when it was Dumas Walker's.
Right, right. That is huge, yeah.
It's giant. Well, that upstairs room is now a bar, a stage in the corner, and then a bar along one wall, and then it's just all open with tables and stuff, and it was packed. And I get there, and it's like a class reunion, and I run into some people I know, and they're like, yeah, dude, at 8:30 this place was packed. There was no parking. I had to park like in the factories next door. And I ran into that big giant bouncer that's always at the Beacon.
Yeah, yeah.
He and I, we pulled up at the same time, got out of the car. Hey, man, how's it going? Well, I heard Rick's got strep throat or something. What happened? No, he's got pneumonia. Oh, dude, yeah. Wow, yeah, that sucks, man. Yeah. So I get in there, and it's cold and it's slippery, and I get in there, and they fucking ask for my ID. And I'm like, oh,
you
got
to walk back to the car, right?
Back to the car. God damn it. And I knew. I was sitting there. No, I'm not going to need my ID. What the fuck do I need ID for? I'm 40 fucking 3 years old. We scan.
40 fucking tree.
We scan all IDs.
All scan right. them.
Yeah,
oh,
they got
so
like a
w,
computer.
So W can tap into that to see that you've been to.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's great, ain't it?
John from TTN was at Famous Freddy's.
So, yeah, I just, you know, ran into some people, talked to them a little bit, and you know, it was so, it wasn't loud or anything, and because there were so many people there, so it sounded okay, you know, I wasn't overly impressed. I thought it was going to be something special, especially him telling us he was doing all this original stuff, and I thought he'd be coming out and throwing a couple of curveballs in there and playing some of his original crap, because he's got some syncopated musicians playing with him now.
How's the rhythm section?
Oh, they're great. I mean, I know this guy, Dennis Frankowski, the drummer, for a long time. He used to play with a band. I don't know if he still is, The Luxury, and they're a big Chicago act. And then Paul Straczynski, who plays bass. You might know Chris.
I know Chris,
his older
yeah.
brother. He he's fucking great. He's a pick player, too, just like you, Scott. And he used to play like in some really speed metal thrash bands back in the day. I jammed with him once. He had fucking hair like down to his knees. And he was jamming out. But, you know, Detroit Rock City, how hard is that to play on bass? Doon, doon, doo-doo-doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo-doo-doo, doo-doo. You know, what's that?
I don't know. What is that?
Isn't that Detroit Rock City?
I don't know.
Get up, everybody, on Kiss Army. Your feet. Get down. Bullshit.
I knew a lot of guys in the Kiss Army. I was never
you were
in the
Kiss Army.
Hey, my
you
friend weren't? Used to come over with this tennis racket. We used to fake like we were in Kiss.
Because
my mom worked 4 to midnight, you know, so we'd fake like we were in Kiss. And my mom just got new carpeting. And this motherfucker, he's going to be Gene Simmons.
Oh, no.
And he's going to put ketchup packets in his mouth. And so we're faking like we're Kiss. We're playing along. And he bites the ketchup. It comes out of his mouth and onto the new carpeting.
Oh, dude.
I'm like, dude, man, you take this too far.
I take this too
far. What, are you
going
to be blowing fire pretty soon? Burning
ace.
My house down?
Yeah, so, we used to do that. We'd
we ended
get
the fake
Bic
Kiss
lighter.
Conference.
Remember that? You get the Bic lighter and you suck on the Bic lighter fumes.
Oh, yeah.
And then
no
you,
doubt.
Whoo, so you could do Gene Simmons.
So Chicago Rock City, are they, is this like a
Chicago
one,
Rock City?
I'm sorry, Chicago
Circus?
Rock Circus. Chicago Rock City, that's a better name. So are they going to do one gig? Or
no,
they,
they got another gig like March 1st or something.
So can we find just, them on MySpace? Or
they got
we
a website.
ChicagoRockCircus.com?
Yeah, I think so.
So
didn't you get the flyer?
Where are they playing in May? You said May?
Yeah, March. March.
March.
Yeah. Let me see if it's on here.
Give him a plug, you know, because Dan was on our show and refused to play covers. on our show. And he really didn't even shred either, did he? A little bit. Shredded a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, they're great. I mean, they're, you know, I've seen them. Like, I played in the band. They're playing shit I played. They're playing Shapes of Things. There's a video of me playing that at the Thirsty Whale in 1984.
And
at
V Show.
Or 85 or whatever it was.
With
yeah.
The spandex.
Yeah, right. Playing, you know, let's see. I'll tell you what they played.
I don't need to hear what they played. Tell me where they're playing next.
They're playing at Chicago City Limits.
Where's that?
On the 1st.
Is it on the City Limits?
Yeah, the City Limits. In Schaumburg.
Schaumburg? Is that a big place? City Limits?
Oh, yeah, they're going to play nothing but... according to Freddie's show, they said they ended up with over 700 people.
Nice.
Came to their show. No doubt.
No doubt, John.
No doubt, Scott. Yeah, they played some Zeppelin, Kiss, Shapes of Things, Gary Moore.
We play Zeppelin.
Van Halen, Unchained. I'm sorry, I wasn't running with the Devils, Unchained. Rainbow, Since You've Been Gone. Pink Floyd, Have a Cigar. They played Pink Floyd before. Deep Purple, Highway Star. Played Deep Purple before. The Doors, Break On Through. Maiden.
Just tell me what's new. Anything new. New.
I didn't stay
like
for
the
new shit.
5 years.
Toadies, Possum Kingdom.
Really?
Nickelback. Fallout Boy.
Any Goo Goo Dolls? I Want to Wake Up Where You Are? The gayest song ever written?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Really?
No. Violent Femmes. Added up. Talking Heads. Foo Fighters. They did one, two, three Van Halen tunes. Kid Rock. Prince / Foo Fighters.
Which Prince?
Darling Nikki.
Okay. That's a good one.
Aerosmith. Couple of Foo Fighters. They did another Foo Fighters. DOA, AC/DC medley, Jane's Addiction. So, I mean, it's like all the same shit. They did Rush, Red Barchetta.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have liked to have heard that. I like that song, Red Barchetta, John.
Yeah. Yeah, they played it good.
Well, they played well.
No, they played it good, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, then. Anything else to say about Chicago Rock Circus?
Good band. They're a good band, but they're just, you know, X-side all over again.
So would you see them again?
Venue? I guess.
Date? Right time?
Yeah, I guess I would.
How much was it to get in the door?
$7.
$7?
So over 700, that's what?
$4,900. $4,900,
about $5,000.
$5,000.
It's nice. Yeah.
All right, John.
Oh, it says, our stage will be held down by us, a killer trio of guitar, bass, and drums. Exactly what they had before. We get to play all night. It's the singers that change with each hour. Three different lead singers per hour. Giving ultra solid driven rock performances. Now, the difference is, I guess, is Dan used to sing and their old bass player used to sing a lot of the tunes. They used to wear headset mics.
Right.
So I think that's probably the difference, but everything else is primarily.
So they don't sing anymore? Who came up to sing? So they're like a backing band for three different singers?
Yeah, they had, like, Roy Silva, who was their old bass player. He sang some stuff. Andy Iringis was one of the singers. Jason Mast and Carrie Devine. I don't know any of them. And then they had Mike DiDomenico as an illusionist. I didn't see him, but I did catch some of The Amazing Thomas, I think it was.
I saw a band once, and at the first song of every set, like they did three sets, the first song of every set, during the song, two girls would mud wrestle in front of the stage. That was interesting.
Didn't I see that band with you?
I was going to ask you. Were you and I in the same room there, Johnny?
I think either Catheter or a Kangaroo Court play before that band?
Possibly.
It was upstairs.
Maybe
at
that's
the
why I
Voodoo
was there.
Lounge, wasn't it?
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, that was the night I had the shits. I had to split right after. Yeah, it was sick.
Yeah.
I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah, I love fucking those bars where you got to carry all your shit up 10 flights of stairs. Yeah. Well, it's actually one flight, but it's really long.
That's why that Arlington gig is the greatest gig ever.
Oh, I know.
You pull your car right up to the stage,
boom,
and you just dump it off, and you're done.
Yeah.
Well, almost. All right, turning to Celebrity News, John. We got a lot of celebrity news. Here is, you know, we talked about movies before. A couple things I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
There's a great review for Rambo. And this is why I wanted to see it. I can't even remember who reviewed it. I should have written that stuff down, but here's what they said about Rambo. Rambo has its share of such slap-you-upside-the-head proclamations. Then again, dialogue is hardly the focus here. In much the same way that it serves to break up sex scenes in pornography, the lines are mostly just exposition and filler. You might even say Rambo is violence porn. Well shot and well edited violence porn.
Nice.
But violence porn nonetheless. So the dialogue just gets you to the violence scenes.
Right. To the next cut.
And that's why it's getting 8.5 out of 10 on IMDb there, Johnny.
Really?
Yeah. And now, I don't know if you've heard this. We're big fans of the new 007. Daniel Craig. Whatever the fuck that movie was called. We loved it. I did, John. Did you like it?
Casino Royale.
Casino Royale.
Tetanus.
Now they're coming out with another one here. Another one.
Yeah.
And did you hear the title for this one? This is the goddamn stupidest movie title I've ever heard in my life. Are you ready?
Yeah,
have you heard
it? Yeah, I heard it. But I don't
Bond
know.
Girls prepare for Quantum of Solace. That's the name of the movie, man.
Quantum.
That's stupid. Of
what does that mean?
I don't even know what that means. I do not know what that means.
Numerical, what?
Olga Kurylenko has launched a grueling fitness regime to prepare for her role in the newly titled James Bond movie, Quantum of Solace. Soulless.
I thought it was Solace. Like
Soulace.
S-O-L-A-C-E.
Solace. Whatever. It's stupid. Look, I can't even pronounce it.
Soulace.
That's how dumb it is.
It's like serenity or peacefulness, right? Isn't it solace? Solitude?
We'll call it Quantum of Serenity.
Quantum of peacefulness.
Why is quantum even in there?
I don't know.
Oh, that's
what
stupid.
Does quantum mean? Money or money? Numbers?
I have no idea.
You should know quantum physics.
Well, quanta comes from packets of energy, is quanta. Einstein said, hey, light is not only waves, but it's packets of energy, quanta. And that's where quantum mechanics gets its name. Now, quantum of solace? I don't know.
So packets of energy that
know.
Are very peaceful?
Yes.
Hmm.
Sounds like a cum shot or something, doesn't it?
Quantum, plural, for quanta.
Quanta. Quanta.
Is an indivisible entity of energy. A photon, for instance, being a unit of light, is a light quantum.
Yes.
So, a light quantum of peacefulness.
Yeah, that's stupid. It's stupid. Who knows? Maybe they took it right from a title from Ian Fleming. I don't know. Maybe an Ian Fleming had a title of one of his stories that was this stupid.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I can get excited about that movie, John. It could be the greatest movie in the world. But how do you even
but the
say
title
that?
Is so bad.
It's so bad. How do you even come up with a conversation at work? Hey, I'm going to see this movie. You want to come with? Yeah, what is it? Quantum of Solace. What? Yeah, it's the new James Bond. People are just going to say the new James Bond. Let's go see the new James Bond.
Quantum of Solace. What the fuck does that mean?
This is not really celebrity news, but it involves the FCC and ABC. That's the Federal Communication Commission.
Right.
And the American Broadcast Corporation. Nude buttocks. Buttocks may cost ABC $1.4 million. The Federal Communication Commission has proposed a $1.4 million fine against 52 ABC television network stations over a 2003 broadcast of the cop drama NYPD Blue. First
fucking
of all,
joke.
2003. It's 2008.
Eight.
It takes 5 years for them to figure out if something is indecent or not. What the fuck are they doing at
and
the
that's
FCC?
That's a problem right there.
And now the FCC, it's a completely appointed committee, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to start getting to know Barack Obama. So he can appoint us to the FCC.
Right.
So we can get that shit straightened out, because this is goddamn ridiculous.
Barack-tober.
The fine, John, is for a scene where a boy surprises a woman as she prepares to take a shower.
Oh.
Okay, so a little boy surprises a woman. The scene depicted multiple close-up views of the woman's nude buttocks, John.
That's fucked up.
ABC is owned by Walt Disney, and the fines were issued against 52 stations. FCC's definition of indecent content requires that the broadcast, get this, John, depicts or describes sexual or excretory activities in a patently offensive way. Can we become patently offensive through audio?
Excretory
activities?
Know. Could be.
Because you're... retelling of your massive shit story, I think, would get us an FCC fine if we were broadcast on the public airwaves.
Yeah.
Sexual or excretory activities in a patently offensive way. I don't even know what that means. Do you know what that means?
I don't know.
Oh, and it has to be aired between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m.
Ah.
That's important. So if it was at 5 a.m. or 11 p.m., then it would be okay.
Yeah.
I guess. Then you can describe sexual or excretory activities in a patently offensive way. Whatever the fuck that means. No wonder it took them 5 years to figure this out. They had to figure out what that fucking means.
That's fucked up.
The agency said the show was indecent because it depicts sexual organs and excretory organs. Specifically an adult woman's buttocks, John.
What? Wait a minute. So the FCC has determined that and
it took them 5 years to determine this.
5 years that a woman's ass is a sexual organ?
Yes.
An excretory organ?
It's an excretory organ. And
since
I would argue,
your ass an organ?
It's not an organ. It's not a sexual organ. And it's not an... If you want to talk about excretory organs... We're going to talk about the tetanus, okay?
Yeah.
So did she spread her cheeks and show us the tetanus? Is it that when we got to see the excretory organs? Let's
say it is the tetanus, and they showed the tetanus. What about the mouth? Every time they show a fucking mouth, that's
an excellent...
What the fuck?
Excellent. Well, not only that, but it's a sexual organ too, John.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a sexual organ. And an excretory organ.
Well, it's only a sexual organ before you get married. Not after. I think we should make that clear.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the ass is either.
Well, the ass never is. Before or after. So, but the FCC. And then it makes you think about, okay, the guys on the FCC, they're the ones defining it as a sexual organ.
Oh,
so
Jesus
what the fuck
Christ.
Is wrong with them? You know what I'm saying?
They're
Are they like in
up.
The anal assault porn videos?
I don't know. They need to be removed. That's fucking just stupid.
Plus, there's a kid in the scene. So the kid in the scene is kind of innocently walking in on a woman taking a shower.
Right.
And so now it becomes...
Guess what? That happens in real
offensive.
Life.
Yeah, that happens in real life, people. And it depicts sexual organs and excretory organs, specifically an adult's woman's buttocks.
That's
the agency
up.
Rejected the network's argument that the buttocks are not a sexual organ.
Well, hello.
Hello. Hello.
I mean, what the fuck, man? We were just fine today. We have to close down production. Why? We showed a woman's mouth. And a male's.
Oh,
that's fucking stupid.
That is. I mean, that is such a goddamn joke. But on the flip side, John, I was watching Channel 68. What is that? That is the...
I don't know.
It's like the... they play Andy Griffith and Happy Days.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, the TV Land.
TV Land. TV Land. I'm watching TV Land. Now, there's not too many channels that you can watch with your kids. But TV Land, I thought that was a pretty safe bet, right?
Yeah.
So we're watching Andy Griffith, the one where Barney Fife is acting as Andy's real estate agent and trying to sell his house, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is funny. Ha, ha, Barney Fife. And then they cut to a commercial, and the woman says, I've always been persecuted for my lesbianism. And my attraction to other women. And I'm like, what? Wait a minute. Click, click. I can't get to the remote quick enough. Now I have to answer my daughter's questions about lesbians, which I didn't appreciate, TV Land.
Oh.
So there. But, hey, it's my choice, right?
In our urethras, we have
I'm in control, John.
Vagina. Yeah,
I turned the channel.
Yeah, you did.
I don't have to go out and find TV Land for having a lesbian commercial.
Well, I don't,
during Andy Griffith.
I don't mind when they start a show and they say, hey, this has got some sexually explicit, or maybe it's, might not be.
Maybe it's patently offensive.
That'd be fine. Put that in front of it. And at least you let the people who are watching it choose, not some fucking dumb shits.
Wouldn't
like
it be funny
FCC?
If the warning was depicts or describes sexual or excretory activities? Then you'd be like, yeah, let me bring it on.
Such
I want to see this.
A woman's buttocks and her lips.
I want to see those excretory activities.
Yeah.
Ooh. So you can't even show a guy taking a shit?
Wet cunt.
You can't even show that on TV anymore?
Yeah, you can't show a...
wet cunt.
Not on TV, Scott.
Not on TV. No way. Not on TV.
Some of our lady listeners probably won't like that.
All right, let's cover Heath Ledger as quickly as
dude,
we can.
Didn't we have an email, though, from somebody?
You know, we had a bunch of email, and I forgot to bring it in.
I got an email from a guy... before we get to Heath Ledger, we got to do something about the forum because I'm getting like 10. We got like 6,300 users now.
Right.
Which is a bunch of shit. It's all
spam, man.
Spam. And I've seen some sites where they have like an authenticator or validator, which is like.
Here's the deal.
It's like one of those jumbled up words that they got to type
right,
in.
Right. I don't want to get too technical here, but. It's going to be a fucking pain in my ass if I have to upgrade. So my only option, the only one that's feasible for me, is to delete the goddamn forum and just reinstall the latest one. And that means people would have to sign up again, create an account. So I'm just saying delete the fucking forum.
What do you mean upgrade? Why? You got to upgrade to the next PHP?
Well, I'd have to upgrade like the next 7.
Oh.
You know, I'd have to do them incrementally.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's maybe some database upgrades that have to occur. I just don't have fucking time for that. So my solution would be delete the fucking forum and just create a new one.
I could give it a shot.
All right. You got the admin account and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, one of the ways that you can, if you send me a personal email instead of, you know, when you sign up and for some reason you're not getting logged in or whatever it is, just send an email to John and Scott or TTN at TotalTalkNonsense.com, and then I'll reactivate your account because whoever it was, this guy from the UK, he couldn't get back in. I just went in and clicked and reactivated and changed, gave him a new password, and that's it, you know. But you got these fucking tons of shit in there. I don't know how the hell there's a way to delete them all.
Right, that's why I'm saying just scrap the fucking thing.
Yeah, but it's going to start all over again. You might as well, you know, you'll have to spend the time again and again and again. You might as well just upgrade it to the latest and greatest, or at least to one where you can use the validator.
Right. Well, you decide. You figure that out. You let me know what you want to do.
Yeah, thanks. You're not going to do anything anymore. Hey, man, are you going to do the tags? You're going to do the... I don't have time for that. Yeah, the whole week. You haven't put shit on the website.
I haven't had time.
I told the wife today, I started bitching about the forum. I said, this is how Scott plays the game. He just doesn't do it. And then it either will go away and we do nothing with it, no, you know, nothing happens, or I have to do something about it to continue it on.
We gave it to Spenny.
A zero priority for Scott and number one for John.
We gave it to Spenny. I lost my admin account. I told Spenny to email. She doesn't even listen anymore because she would have emailed my account. So I don't even have admin rights. Do you have admin rights?
Yeah.
Give me your account. I'll go in there. I'll clean some shit up. But there's no way I'm going to fuck around with updating shit incrementally. Okay, update it with this version, then this version, then this version. Fuck that. I don't have time for that. Maybe there's a way. There could be a way. There might be utilities where we can export the database with the users.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then just install the latest
there's
version.
There's probably somebody that can help us.
And then
with that.
Re-import the database.
Right.
That's a possibility.
Like a tool.
A tool, yeah. Maybe there's a tool out there.
I know a tool. His name's Scott.
Yeah. All right. Moving on with celebrity news, John.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger, you know, he passed away the day we broadcast last week. We didn't have too much to say about that. I really don't remember Heath Ledger from any of his roles. I know he's in Joker. He's the Joker. Makes me want to see the new Batman. I'll tell you that. Brokeback Mountain. How could I forget Enos Del Mar?
Enos.
And Brokeback Mountain, which I saw. Did you ever see that, John?
No.
You've never seen
it?
No. Right.
No.
Right. Anyway, Fred Phelps, John. Fred Phelps, our good friend Fred Phelps.
Yeah.
Of the Radical Baptist Church, known for picketing the funerals of American soldiers who lost their lives in Iraq, has announced that he intends to protest Heath Ledger's stateside memorial service because he played a gay character in Brokeback Mountain.
Ugh.
Is this guy... What is with this guy? He's goddamn mental. I mean, we knew he was mental before. But Heath Ledger's an actor. He takes a role to portray a gay man, and now this is all up in Fred Phelps's... gets his panties in a bunch. So he's got to picket the funeral. Go ahead. We got some Fred Phelps clip here. It's actually two clips, and I combine them. So it's one long clip of Fred talking about Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger.
He lent his talents to a movie called Brokeback Mountain that made committing adultery and committing sodomy something that was glorious and attractive.
Is now in hell and has begun serving his eternal sentence there. Beside which, nothing else about Heath Ledger is relevant or consequential.
What a bad...
Whoa.
Now, what about Fred Phelps is relevant or consequential? Nothing.
Yeah. Complete... What a douchebag.
And didn't these guys just lose an $11 million lawsuit? Pay the piper.
Yeah.
And then shut your mouth.
Shut your trap.
I take that back. Free speech. He can say whatever he wants. I don't give a shit. But to the protest, to go to protest the funeral and with signs that God hates fags at Heath Ledger's funeral.
It's just retarded.
Talk about moral compass, John.
Yeah. This guy is the lowest piece of dog shit ever.
What I can't believe is the guy found a woman that let her fuck him. You know what I'm saying? that he can procreate is
it
beyond
just proves
me.
That there's someone for everybody.
And then his daughter is even more whacked out than Fred Phelps. She's been going on radio shows too, talking about how Heath Ledger's in hell because obviously they didn't watch the movie because they're saying he's glorifying homosexuality. Yeah. If you watch the movie, that was no glorification of homosexuality. So obviously they didn't see the fucking movie.
Right.
But no, they'll talk about it anyway. Stupid asses.
Yeah, they're a bunch of... What a dick. That guy just... Yeah. And the fact that he's such a dick. He's such a fucking retard. He has some notoriety because he's just so off the fucking wall and people can't wait to hear what this knucklehead has to say.
Right. And somebody gives him a microphone.
We play it.
Somebody gives him a microphone and they say, hey, comment on this.
A microphone.
You cocksucker.
Pardon me.
Oh, yes.
Wet cunt.
You motherfucker.
That's just not nice.
All right, moving on. We have Tom Cruise. We can get into Tom Cruise and Scientology, or we can do John and Scott Theater. Which one do you want to do first there, Johnny?
I think we got to talk about Scientology.
Scientology, man. Then, if we have time, we'll do John and Scott Theater?
Yeah.
All right, and it really is Scientology related because it's John Travolta, and he's a Scientologist, John.
Oh, right.
Right on. But before we get to any of that, let's play this Pete Wentz clip. No, I don't like this cocksucker. Never liked him.
Pete Wentz. Who's Pete Wentz?
He's like the bass player for some emo band.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's going out with Ashley Simpson.
Right.
I never liked this guy.
All right.
Never. Hold on. Let me explain this clip first.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And you're going to hear in this clip why I don't like him.
All right.
Go ahead.
I think I've determined that.
I feel like the Republicans are scared of him. You know, I think he's electrified. I think that he's not entrenched in Washington. Therefore, he doesn't owe favors. He'll be able to get in there and actually make a change. I was like, what could Pete Wentz do? How could Pete Wentz be involved? And this seemed like something that was simple, but it was actually a concerted effort.
Yeah, so he held some Barack Obama thing, right?
Yeah.
But he refers to himself in third person.
Yeah, how could a Pete Wentz
instead of saying how can I help, how could a Pete Wentz
how
help?
Could a Pete Wentz help?
What a dick! Guy plays bass in a subpar band. How does he get any notoriety?
I don't know.
Who sticks a microphone in front of his face?
Why are you so
that
upset?
I have to hear him?
This is exactly how you were with Special Ed.
That's not.
The other night.
Yeah. I was not this aggressive.
Yeah.
Not at all.
You sure were.
Special Ed is like a Steven Seagal. Kind
I know,
of a guy.
Man.
I wouldn't get that aggressive
he's
around
rip
Special
your
Ed.
Esophagus out and use it for a straw.
Right, so I wouldn't do that. I was much more calm. The tempo was the same, but I was.
Where's your moral compass?
Where's,
do you believe in God?
Ed, where's
do
your
you believe
compass?
In God?
No, it's
do you
more
believe
like
in
this.
God?
It was more like this. Ed, where's your moral compass?
No. Where's your moral compass? Where's your moral compass?
Where's your moral compass?
I hate Frank Lloyd Wright. What?
I did say that. Frank Lloyd Wright. You get the shit out of your ears.
That is one big pile of shit.
Yeah.
All right, terming.
Where's your mall compass?
Turning to Tom Cruise, yeah. John. Tom Cruise.
Well, before we get to Tom Cruise, what about this war?
The war
on Scientology.
War on Scientology. I don't know. I haven't heard too much about it.
A loose confederation of online troublemakers who call themselves Anonymous have declared war on the Church of Scientology by flooding its servers with fake data requests, describing the attacks as punishment for the church's alleged abuse of copyright laws and alleged brainwashing of its members. How about murder?
Yeah, how about that?
Allegedly.
Well, that's great. You know, we talked about spammers and these fuckers that go on MySpace and fuck with our messaging system, you know, and then you click on something and 40,000 windows open.
Right.
And it doesn't endear you to anybody. Now they're taking our advice and they're attacking Scientology.
Right. They're actually, put it to good use.
Yes, they're using their tools and their talent for some constructive work.
Yeah. Use your talents for good, not evil.
Going after these fuck faces.
Yeah.
Why not?
The attack on Scientology, which Anonymous, and now I sound like a judgmental. The attack on Scientology, which Anonymous has dubbed.
Hey, man, that's been trademarked.
Oh,
we
sorry.
Might have to take that out in post.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Just don't mention cinnamon gum.
Okay, I won't. Anyway, the attack in Scientology, which Anonymous has dubbed Project. Yo, man, what's up? Living the projects. I think it's Chanology.
Chanology?
Chanology.
Yeah, Chanology.
Chanology. Started in recent days, set off by the church's most recent attempt to censor the internet by forcing sites to remove a creepy Tom Cruise Scientology video. They've done everything from a wiki set up for the Project Directs Anonymous members to download and use denial of service software, make prank calls, host Scientology documents the church considers proprietary, and fax endless loops of black pages to the church's fax machines to waste ink. That's just mean.
Isn't it?
I like that trick. I got to remember that one. The Church of Scientology was founded by, of course, we know L. Ron Hubbard. But anyways, I guess they're offering up, the Church of Scientology is offering up like a $5,000 reward to anybody who turns over these people.
That's it? 5 Gs?
Yeah, 5 Gs.
That's all it's worth to them?
No, it turns over any, I mean, you know, let's say there's 500 people. For every person you turn over, it's like 5 Gs.
Oh, okay. Do you get like a Scientology hoodie too? I might do it for that.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah,
that's great though. That's great. More power to you, Anonymous.
Anonymous.
Anon.
Well, the one thing about Scientology, and we've talked about this Tom Cruise motherfucker before, this guy's an actor. And then he's becomes much more than an actor. I mean, he's bigger than any role he's ever played. The combination of all his work.
Right.
I mean, he's like an international superstar. And he doesn't think, wow, how lucky I am, or I do have talent, and talent combined with luck, and how fortunate I am.
Right.
No. He thinks it's fucking L. Ron Hubbard who gave him this ability. And the reason, and we've theorized this before, the reason is because Tom Cruise, who is Tom Cruise crazy, has same-sex feelings, John.
Yeah.
And he went to Scientology, and somehow they brainwashed him out of acting on his same-sex feelings. So he really is, allegedly, a homosexual.
Yeah.
But Scientology cured him, and that's why he's all into Scientology. Yeah. Because they cured him of his homosexual feelings.
His gayness.
And because at the same time he got involved with them, Top Gun and Risky Business catapulted his career.
The propaganda, right.
So that's our theory. So then this guy writes this autobiography of Tom Cruise, unauthorized, of course, because Tom Cruise is not going to tell you a goddamn thing.
Right.
And so somebody read this book, and they condensed it for us, so we just read the good parts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So here's what they say about Tom Cruise. Ever since that ridiculously homoerotic volleyball scene in Top Gun, the world has wondered about Tom Cruise's sexuality. But Andrew Morton's Tom Cruise, that's the author, Andrew Morton, is a hot-blooded heterosexual. And I'm going to have to disagree with that right there. I'm going to have to disagree with that statement. We have our theory, and we're going to stand by it.
Yeah.
And then when I read the evidence of Tom Cruise's heterosexuality, it's all based on interpretation. Our belief system says he's a homo, and when we read this, it's going to fit right into our belief system. Page 13. One of Tom's first girlfriends, Carol Trumpler, still gets misty-eyed when she remembers her brief dalliance with the future star. He was a very good kisser, very much at ease with it all. But what do you do at 11? What do you know when you're 11? Sadly for Carol, Tom moved on pretty quick. It should be quickly. I was trying to be a good girl, and when I didn't give in to his ways, he moved on. All right, so at 11, he's trying to figure out his sexuality.
Yeah.
He's kissing this girl. He wants to move on. And she's like, no, I'm not into that. Not yet. I'm only goddamn 11. But he wants to move on. Who knows how he wanted to move on?
He's a good kisser at 11?
At 11.
How the fuck does this chick know? What the fuck is she talking about?
Well, who knows? But we don't know how he tried to move on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, was he using the ass as a sexual organ? We don't know. So we don't know how he was trying to move on, but he was a good kisser. So that's their evidence, right? Page 68. Remember the sex on the train scene in Risky Business? Morton alleges that while Tom and Rebecca De Mornay were nervous before playing the scene, those who snuck onto the closed set are convinced that the answer to the question of did they, didn't they, really get it on camera is a firm, I like that word, firm, is a firm yes. So the crew that witnessed that said that they really got it on during the train scene.
You motherfucker!
I don't know if I buy that, and I don't know if it adds.
I have a sound bite from that.
Let's hear it.
Oh, wet cunt!
That's where that came from.
I heard they had to take it out of
in the post,
so they didn't get the R rating.
Yeah.
Page 68. I'm sorry. Page 195. High school girlfriend Diane Von Zorin doesn't give any credence to Tom's gay rumor. She says, "I don't get it. I find these stories just hard to believe. We romanced in my dad's Oldsmobile doing what you are not supposed to." Again, we don't get detail. I need detail. What does that mean, doing what they're not supposed to?
Again, what does that have to do with anything,
though? It doesn't have to do anything. Like, were they smoking pot? That's not what you're supposed to do. Or is she alleging that they were having some sort of sexual relationship? And again, was the axe, was the ass sexual organ? I don't know. Page 34.
Right.
Nancy Armell, another high school flame, also remembers fooling around in a parked car. She told Morton, "I was black and blue from the gear shift."
What?
That doesn't make any sense
it? Using the penis.
Right, not the gear shift. What's going on there?
Oh,
now it's starting to turn creepy, John. It's starting to turn creepy. Page 65. Tom tried to impress Nancy by taking her to the Broadway musical Le Cage. Follies. I don't even know how to pronounce that.
Le Cage. Follies.
But doesn't that have gay written all over it?
Yeah.
Tried to impress Nancy by taking her to a Broadway musical? But he was unaware, get this, he was unaware of the storyline about two gay men living together in Saint-Tropez, whatever. According to Nancy, He couldn't handle it. We had to leave before the intermission. It really bothered him. He was definitely homophobic. Yeah.
And that right there.
What do we know about homophobes, John?
We know they all turn out to be closeted homos.
That's right. Because we're very secure with our masculinity.
Yeah.
Page 95, 195. Morton claims that Tom was uncomfortable around gay men. Gee, I wonder why. Those who saw him in the company of some of Nicole Kidman's gay friends, who included designer John Gilano, noticed that he was awkward and ill at ease, much preferring the company of jocks who talked about football rather than fashion.
Boing.
It's starting to turn. Starting to turn gay right there, John.
Yep.
Turning the gay way. okay, now we're going to talk. So that's their evidence for he's heterosexual, which I believe is points more towards homosexuality than anything. Now we're going to talk about Scientology and Tom Cruise from the book. Page 278. Allegedly, Katie signed a Scientology contract that fundamentally changed her human rights and those of her future children, requiring that she and any of her children were ever to suffer from mental or terminal illness, they must turn only to Scientology's treatments. She must never use psychiatric care or psychiatric drugs. Isn't that great?
That's fucked up.
Now, let's pause here, John.
You're
and play
glib,
a, let's
Scott.
Play a clip of Katie on David Letterman.
You're glib.
And let's listen to this monotone, brainwashed woman. Right.
Do you ever have moments where you're like, this is too much? Is there ever a single moment you're like, ugh?
What's normal for us is normal for us. And everybody has a good day and a bad day. And we all have our days.
I'm sorry, that was not David Letterman. But the monotone is still there. I mean, the robot.
We have our good days.
What's
and
normal
our
for us is
bad
normal
days.
For us. We have our good days
and our
bad
days.
Yeah, totally brainwashed. Page 290, 91, Morton repeats the sketchy tabloid rumors that Tom fitted Katie's cell phone with a tracking device so that he would know where she was day and night. Wouldn't you do that if you were Tom Cruise? I would do that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you do that? I'd do that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Why wouldn't you?
Of course.
I mean, that seems reasonable.
Gotta do it.
Page 298. Without naming his sources, Morton spins the following yarn. Some sect members sincerely believe that Katie Holmes was carrying the baby who would be the vessel for L. Ron Hubbard's spirit when he returned from his trip around the galaxy.
Oh, shut up.
True believers are convinced that Tom Spawn would be the reincarnation of L. Ron Hubbard. Some Sea Org fanatics even wondered if the actress had been impregnated with Hubbard's frozen sperm.
I'm getting heebie-jeebies,
How'd Katie feel about all this? Morton puts his intuitive powers to the test to produce this gem. Katie might have felt as if she were in the middle of a real-life version of a horror movie, Rosemary's Baby, in which an unsuspecting young woman is impregnated with the devil's child.
That's weird.
By 1993, Morton says Tom progressed to what Scientologists call the Wall of Fire, the operating Thetan 3, where the secrets of the universe, according to Hubbard, are revealed.
Oh.
Allegedly, Tom found the knowledge he had just received disturbing and alarming as he struggled to reconcile the creationist myth with the more practical teachings contained in the lower levels of Scientology. It was recalled that around this time, relations became ugly between David Miscavige and the Hollywood actor. Tom complained that he was studying all these years and the whole faith was about space aliens. So when he finally gets to OT level 3 and they tell him that Xenu, we've told that story, 13 billion years ago, flew how many trillions of flights, left these people on Earth, and then blew up volcanoes, and then their spirits, their thetans, left their bodies. And the thetans are what's left over that gives us all this baggage, this bullshit that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
According to Scientology. So they told Tom Cruise that, and he could not reconcile that with the creation theory of Christianity. And he had a falling out with David Miscavige. What do you think they did to get him back in line? That's what I want to know.
They, I don't know.
A little tetanus probe?
A little tetanus probe. Nice.
Oh, here it says right here on page 250, Tom's disenchantment didn't last long. Morton writes that in 2004, Tom reached the exalted level of Operating Thetan 7, where Hubbard promised that man would become his own god. What's level 7 like? According to former Scientologist Peter Alexander, you believe that all your problems are due to Thetans and that you are a god. That's great. That's fucking great, man.
That's fucked up, man.
That is totally fucked up. Now, this is a unauthorized autobiography, John.
Unauthorized.
But there's a woman that I know that went to high school and knew other girls that had gone to high school with Tom Cruise. And I'm trying to get her on the show because she has, I don't want to say proof, but she has anecdotal evidence that Tom Cruise is swinging for the other team.
Really?
Yes.
Respect the cock.
Wow.
Tame the cunt!
It doesn't help that I haven't talked to her in 6 years, but when I do, I'll try to get her on the show.
Respect the cock.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Suck my big fat fucking sausage!
All right, John, I think we can turn to John and Scott Theater.
John and Scott Theater.
And then I'll have to take a potty break.
Theater.
We'll do John and Scott Theater, then we'll get to some science, and then wrap up the show, John. Wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Now, this John and Scott Theater, I will be portraying John Travolta. John, you will be portraying a magazine reporter from the Australian's Woman's Day magazine.
I gotta be a woman?
You don't have to be a woman. It could be a man. We don't know. But it's from the Australian Woman's Day magazine. Listen to how fucked up John Travolta is. And he's talking about Heath Ledger, who just passed away. Heath Ledger. He's also a Scientologist, John.
Really?
Yes. Not Heath Ledger, but John Travolta.
Was. Oh, no, right. I mean...
Is.
Right, is.
Yes.
What is? I don't know. I just... okay, so... I start, right?
You start. You are from Women's Day Magazine.
Is this the right kind of music?
No. It is. I mean, it'll work. What happened to the Clay Gaken music?
I had it here somewhere. What was it called?
I have no idea. None. But it was like something you'd hear at a club, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something Angel 60, I think it's called, right? Ding, 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 ding. What was that? What'd you do?
Nothing, man.
What'd you do, man? Did you ready just to fucking go? Spill?
No, not at all.
What did you do, man?
Come on, John and Scott Theater. We're going to have to come up with a John and Scott Theater intro bumper. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Hold on, I got it here somewhere. It's called Alive.
The show must go on, John.
Alive 60. It's here somewhere. Here it is. I got it. I got it. I got it.
There you go.
All right. All right. Did you know, Heath? How has his death affected you?
I did know Heath, and I adored him. I'm pretty devastated over this. He was my favorite actor and my favorite talent. It's like losing Dame Steen. I would give back all my awards and all my nominations just to have him back. I think it was a real loss as a person, persona, and as a talent. And this whole evening is very hard for me. We are celebrating Australia Week in the USA, and it's killing me. Yo, you know that he's both of us. He's Australian and he's from the United States. And he means a whole lot. It's a bad situation, Mr. Cartel.
I'm sorry. How did you meet him?
I wanted to meet him because I was very impressed with him from the very beginning. His agent introduced me to him at a party, and I just fell. I used every accolade. Actors need other actors to be inspired by, and he was my actor.
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time. Is this really John Travolta?
Yeah,
or is this Barbarino?
Yeah, no, it's me.
Okay, how did he respond?
I forget that anyone younger than me grew up with me, you know. He was beautiful in his reaction. I was an idol of his. My reacting the way to his work really blew him away. But he was very modest and almost bashful about the compliment. I didn't want to make a big deal about it myself, but he was a big deal.
Excuse me, are you Jewish?
No! Yo!
Okay, you just sound a little Jewish with a big deal at the end there. Okay.
I'm a little broken up. You know?
No, I see that.
What?
Did you... Did you know of any troubles he may have been experiencing?
As far as I knew, he was on top of the world. He had everything going for him and very serious about his craft. And he was looking forward to his best work thrown his way. I'm sorry, I'm a little emotional. Stop it. The thing
I'm sorry.
Is, when you have the depth of character and the feelings he did, that's a double-edged sword. You are also feeling those things in life.
Oh, the sword?
Your sensitivities and your perceptions are almost an assault on you.
Use.
And you get this. The most beautiful thing you can use in your craft is also the very thing that can make life harsher for you. I would be presumptuous to so many reasons it would be inappropriate. My feeling on Heath is I don't want to lose him at age 28 or age 88 like Marlon Brando. I didn't like his passing. He was special to me. He was a friend at any age. Yo, you don't want to lose someone like that. He was a valuable guy. I am truly sorry, and my heart goes out to everyone who knew him and loved him. And actually, my heart goes out to me. I really didn't like it. I just don't like it at all.
I'm sorry. I'm just... I'm having a hard time.
I know it's tough.
It's very tough.
It's hard to talk about, you know?
Well, especially when you were talking about how you were feeling his sword.
Yeah, double-edged sword. Yeah.
And then you were also feeling those things.
Yeah, I felt them really deep.
Yes. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's heartbreaking.
It is. I got the vapors. Anyway, do you feel for young people in show business now?
It was a different era. I really don't know. My daughter is starting out in the business, and she will be protected by me, of course. And I admire anyone who holds it together nowadays. I'm having a hard time holding it together right now. I'm sorry. I'm losing my composure. There are a lot of outside pressures, and then you add the complications of being a superstar. I mean, that talent, that depth, who knows? We would have to be inside that person's head. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I understand. If you want, here's a tissue.
Thank you.
Don't worry about that little some mayonnaise.
What?
It's a little
Where?
On the tissue.
Where?
Anyway. Just one more question. I have one more question from Woman's Daily. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. What was his most inspirational movie for you?
Well, the first movie I saw him in was The Patriot. But then, with Brokeback, I don't think anyone will ever beat that performance. I don't know if it's possible.
No, I think you're right about that. I don't know if it's possible.
All right, you've just heard John and Scott Theater. Thank you, thank you.
The smattering of applause.
Smattering, yes. They're all standing, though.
At attention.
I really did get choked up, John. I really got into character.
I could hear.
I'm starting to, my nose, I'm a little congested.
I think you might get an academy.
I could. Do they have those for audio?
A sword.
A double-edged sword. John.
It's like a double dong, isn't it?
Yes. All right, then. I have to hit the can now, John. You got a song that you can play?
Yeah, actually, it's another tune by Zipperhead.
Zipperhead.
And both of these songs we play, they're downloadable for free from zipperheadrocks.com. So check it out. I was telling the bass player last night about it, and he was very thankful that we're spreading the word about their great band. I love their band. They really rock. So this song's called School. It's not released yet. I believe it's on their next and up-and-coming CD. They have, I believe, three of them out, but check it out. Go to zipperheadrocks.com and check them out. Here it is. All right, that was Zipperhead with School.
What's with the DJ stuff?
I don't know. I just
with School.
with school. Thanks for listening. That was check him out at zipperheadrocks.com, Scott. I'm Scott.
And I'm John.
yeah, whatever. They rock. Isn't that a rocking tune? Kind of sounds like Kiss, doesn't it? A little
Kiss.
Bit. Kiss. Yeah, I bought a CD some years ago, and the bass player made fun of me. He's like, oh, look, we got the one guy who bought our CD right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies
and gentlemen, because like their first CD has a song on there called Stink. It's a great tune. It's about their dog, one of the guy's dogs, and he buried him in the backyard. And the stench. They didn't bury him deep enough.
Guess not.
It's pretty good song, though.
All right, John.
Yeah, all right.
Before we turn to science news, there is one last clip about Heath Ledger. Now, Jack Nicholson, who also played the Joker in Batman movie, they interviewed him about Heath Ledger. And some of the theories are saying that Heath Ledger spent like a month in a hotel room by himself trying to get into this character who's a psychopath.
Yeah.
That may have led to some of the issues he had, which, you know, later led to his not being here anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So they interviewed Jack Nicholson about it, and I pulled this clip, John. Here's what he had to say.
I warned people about Ambien. I almost drove off a cliff.
What? About who? Ambien?
Yeah, I guess the sleeping pill he was taking was Ambien.
Ah.
So I warned people about Ambien. I almost drove off a cliff.
That's not funny.
What do you mean?
He warned
I'm helping him warn people.
He's warned, right.
Our listeners will be warned about Ambien. Stay away from Ambien.
Stay away.
Get a CPAP. Smoke a joint.
CPAP, yeah.
Stay away from Ambien.
Stay away.
Stay away.
From the Ambien.
All right, turning to science news, John. Where is the coldest spot in the universe, do you know? Coldest
That's right.
spot in yeah. the universe, do you know? Where do you think it is? Coldest spot, universe.
You got to ask me nicely.
All right. John, where do you think the coldest spot in the universe is?
Don't I feel like the fucking asshole?
The coldest, it's got to be here on Earth.
Well, it's not on the moon, where the temperature plunges to a mere 378 Fahrenheit. Not even the deepest outer space.
Ask me the question again.
Which has an estimated background temperature of about minus 455. So, John, where is the coldest spot in the
you
universe?
You want answers? Yes. You want answers?
Yes.
This is ridiculous.
It's not. As far as scientists can tell, the lowest temperatures ever attained were recently observed.
Observed.
Right here on Earth. You are correct, John. Right here on Earth. Physicists acknowledge they can never reach the coldest conceivable temperature, known as absolute zero, at 459 degrees below Fahrenheit.
Below. Wow.
This is...
Are we clear?
To physicists, temperature is the measure of how fast atoms are moving, a reflection of their energy, and absolute zero is the point at which there is absolutely no heat
movement
energy remaining to be extracted from a substance. They also go on to say that light stops
cold.
Moving when the temperatures get this cold.
Really?
Yes. It slows down, and it can come to a complete stop.
Wow, that's something, because light is both a particle and a wave.
Right on, John.
So sound can actually stop in cold?
They don't mention sound in the article.
We're going to have to...
But I would assume so.
We'll have to probe that.
Probe it, yes.
Probe that.
Maybe let's put in a grant for that.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can...
Just raise the tax dollars some more, why don't we?
Yeah, we'll say we're going to, like, put four fridges together, freezers, and we're going to put our heads in them and try to yell stuff and see if the sound stops or not.
What about political news? We got anything on that?
Yeah, we got it's coming up after science news, John.
I thought you just had one story.
Well, yeah, I do, I guess. One is this is a nice segue into politics.
I don't know if you know this, but NASA's current plan for manned space exploration focuses on establishing a base on the moon. Did you know that?
Bullshit.
It's a vital stepping stone for a visit to Mars. The initiative has been trumpeted by, guess who? The W.
Trumpeted or trumped?
Whatever.
Oh,
which wants
he was
the
bragging
first
about it.
Mission
okay.
to launch by 2020. But trouble is brewing as the growing group of former mission managers, planetary scientists, and astronauts argue against any manned moon mission at all. We've already been there. Been there, done that. That's what I think.
Well, I thought they wanted to use it to set it up.
To go to Mars?
Base station, yeah.
Well, what do you need to go to Mars for? Why do we need to put a person on Mars?
Because there's a Sasquatch on Mars.
Is there a Sasquatch? You think we could build something to go and capture the Sasquatch and bring it back? Why do we need to send people to Mars?
I don't know.
What they say is send astronauts to an asteroid.
Send
In better preparation. Send them to an asteroid. The dissenters plan to gather in mid-February at a meeting at the Planetary Society at Stanford University. We want to get a positive recommendation to the new administration.
An asteroid.
If you said humans to Mars in the same sentence to a NASA official, you would receive a figurative slap in the face. And then 4 months later, the moon to Mars plan was the main point on a view graph at the highest levels. And it's all because of the W. Mr. Science, Mr. W. Wants to go to the moon go to Mars. What is the? Tell me what the goddamn benefit of that is. Sending a guy to Mars.
Speaking of the W, listen to what kind of a genius this guy is, okay?
Oh, we already know that.
George W. Bush is famous for his attachment to a painting, not just the rug. Remember, we talked about the rug
in the Oval Office. Right.
But he has another attachment to a painting which he acquired after becoming a born-again Christian. And this is when he was governor. It's by W.H.D. Corner and is entitled A Charge to Keep. Bush was so taken by it that he took the painting's name for his own official autobiography, which he didn't pen himself, obviously.
Obviously.
And here's what he has to say about it from the book. I thought I would share with you a recent bit of... See, I can't do it as good as you, man. I do people at work better than I do the W. I thought I would share with you a recent bit of Texas history, which epitomizes our mission. When you come into my office, please take a look at the beautiful painting of a horseman determinedly charging up to what appears to be a steep and rough trail. This is us. What adds complete life to the painting for me is the message of Charles Wesley that we serve one greater than ourselves. So in Bush's view...
Like the Almighty.
Yeah. Or perhaps I should say faith.
Here's the deal, though, about the W, greater than ourselves.
Yeah.
In my opinion, everybody on the planet is greater than the W. But no, the only person that's greater than him, in his opinion, is the Almighty.
Right.
Some fairy tale. But you give me the third night manager at Wendy's, he would be a better president than the W.
Right. No doubt. Scott,
sorry,
you said
a
mouthful. Well, anyways, his view of this is this key figure whom he personally identifies as a missionary spreading the word of the Methodist Christianity in the American West in the late 19th century. And so basically, Bush's charge that Bush's description of a charge to keep. Is probably improbable because this guy Jacob Weisberg has solved the mystery. He invested the time to track down the commission behind the artwork, and he gives us the full story in his forthcoming book on Bush, The Bush Tragedy. What he says is Bush came to believe that the picture depicted the circuit riders who spread Methodism across the Alleghenies, Allegheny's?
Somewhere.
Allegheny's?
They spread
I don't know.
Somewhere,
Allegheny's in the 19th century. In other words, the cowboy who looked like Bush was a missionary of his own denomination. Only that is not the title, message, or meaning of the painting. The artist W.H.D. Corner executed it to illustrate. Hold on. I got to put my glasses on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm having a hard time reading. I got to put my glasses on. Shut up. I'm old. All right? Shut up. Fuck. Anyways, only that it's not the title, message, or meaning of the painting. The artist, The artist, W.H.D. Corner, executed it to illustrate a Western short story entitled The Slipper Tongue, published in the Saturday Evening Post in 1916. The story is about a smooth-talking horse thief who is caught and then escapes a lynch mob in the sand hills of Nebraska. The illustration depicts the thief fleeing his captors. In the magazine, the illustration bears the caption, had his start been 15 minutes longer, he would not have been caught.
I'm going to stand up for the W here. Are you finished? You got more?
Well, basically, it's just, yeah, I got a little more. So Bush's inspiring proselytizing Methodist is, in fact, a silver-tongued horse thief fleeing from the lynch mob. And this is what you're probably going to defend him on. Is the fact that Bush has consistently exhibited what psychologists call the
stupidity
Tolstoy syndrome. That is, he is completely convinced he knows what things are. So he shuts down all avenues of inquiry about them and disregards the information that is offered to him.
Because he knows.
Right.
You don't know. You're glib. He knows.
There's no rules.
No rules. I'm going to stand up for the W here. It's a piece of artwork. Artwork is free to interpretation. He can interpret it however the fuck he wants.
Sure.
It could be Jesus riding on a goddamn horse for I care. All I care. And if that's W's interpretation, that's fine. So what? That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Now
he identifies with a guy who's mythic and heroic.
Heroic.
But in fact, he's a wily criminal one step out in front of justice. It perfectly reflects Bush the man and Bush the president. Well, if the guy can't tell the difference between a fucking thief and a heroic figure, how the hell can he tell the difference between that which is real?
He can't. It's obvious. And we always say this, reality is your own perception. So who the fuck knows what reality he's living in? It's got nothing to do with the reality that you and I perceive.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, here, this story here ties to it a little bit. This is out of Washington. A study by two nonprofit journalism organizations found that President Bush and top administration officials issued hundreds of false statements, which we know this already. But what we didn't know is that somebody's actually looking into it and vetting.
See, this is where we got to come up with this idea first and get the money to vet this stuff.
Right.
We know he's lying. Give us the money. We'll prove it.
Well, what it
says, we'll hire an intern.
The study counted 935 false statements in the two-year period. It found that in speeches, briefings, interviews, and other venues, Bush and administration officials stated unequivocally on at least 532 occasions that the Iraq had developed weapons of mass destruction or links to Al-Qaeda or both. Named in the study along with Bush were top officials of the administration during the period, Vice President Dick Cheney, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, Ronald Rumsfeld, and Colin Powell, Paul Wolfowitz, and Ari Fleischer, and even Scott McClellan. Scott. But the one who led the false statements, the leader, the winner of this contest was Bush. He led with 259 false statements. And here's the funny thing. Here's what's hilarious, too. I mean, you could literally just click. You could type something
clit?
In Google.
You could click
something. Yeah. You could just...
What? Cunt.
No, I didn't say that. You could click on Google and just type in anything regarding any subject matter and come up with the audio or video where they said one thing at one time and said something completely different at another time. Here I have a clip of Cheney being interviewed after sometime a year after he said that they've confirmed, they have information confirming the intelligence that Saddam was linked with Al-Qaeda.
Are you going to pause it so we know the before and then pause and then the after, right? Because it's all in one clip.
You could tell. You could tell. Okay. Yeah, because the first one is this chick asking him the question, and right after you hear the second interview is where he was on earlier the year before with, what's his name, Tim Russert.
9/11 terrorist.
You have said in the past that it was, quote, pretty well confirmed.
No, I never said that.
Okay.
I never said that. That's absolutely not. What I said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down. It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
Never said it. He never said that.
Yeah, he never said pretty well confirmed. But why didn't she then have the clip
that you just played? That's exactly.
And say, well, hold on, I need to stop you there.
She had the quote right in front of her, and she wouldn't fucking go for the jugular. That's what cracks me up about this cheese-ass, puss-ass media we have. They're not media at all. They're getting a fucking paycheck, and they know they better not cross the fucking line because the FCC is going to throw the smackdown on the TV station that doesn't support whatever the agenda is of this fucked up administration.
Yeah, okay, you got the quote there. Why not just push the fucking video right back in his face?
You know, that's the thing. They won't do it because they're weak. Because, you know, they're getting a paycheck and they don't want to get fired. And if they're going to get fired because the station, for whatever reason, I don't know for sure, but you know there's got to be some pressure. Look at ABC. They're got to pay a fine for showing some woman's sexual organ, which is her ass. And next it'll be the mouth. You know, I don't understand it. It's complete bullshit. And here's what cracks me up. You know, you got people that have voted for this retard and they still support him. Even Dan, who's been on our show, is still a W lover.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. He voted for him.
And he's still in love with the guy.
Yeah, I started going off about this weapons of mass destruction, how much bullshit it is. And he starts telling me his friend Ray, who's ex-Navy, has all this intelligence that proves that...
they moved him to Pakistan.
Yeah. I'm like, come on, dude. Oh, so he's got this security clearance... To the
but he
point
can tell
where
you.
He can tell you about it, you fucking dummy. I just want to slap people like that. Just like when I said there's no God, and he said, well, there has to be a God now because you deny there's a God, therefore he must exist. What?
Huh? Say what again?
Yeah, that's what he wrote me in an email once.
Let's to keep it on the W.
I'm sorry.
Now, this is kind of old news, but so the NIE, whatever that stands for, it's like 16 intelligence agencies.
National Intelligence Estimate.
They came out with this report that said Iran stopped the capability for nuclear weapons in 2003 or some shit like that.
Right.
Right? So Bush goes over to the Middle East, and during that trip, he had a private conversation with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. Ehud. And get this, Bush all but disowned the agency's December 3rd national intelligence estimate on Iran. A senior administration official who accompanied Bush on the trip confirmed to Hirsch that Bush told the Israelis that he can't control what the intelligence community says. Well, what can he control? I guess the news media. He can't control the intelligence community, but that the NIE's conclusions do not reflect his own views. And that is
what?
Unbelievable
his
to me.
His own views.
His own views. So there's 16 intelligence communities.
I don't know what to say, but I have my own views on this.
Gathering data, putting this report together. He can't control them, but he doesn't agree with their conclusions. Oh. Then why the fuck are we paying for it? Right? Why are we spending tax dollars on this if you don't even listen to these motherfuckers?
Oh, he's a conservative
then
president.
Fire them all if you have a different goddamn opinion than these people working their asses. Oh, I don't know if they're working their asses off or not. But actually working and putting this report together, gathering data, putting the report together. But he doesn't believe it.
He's such a chimp, man. What a chimp.
140 pages, nearly 1,500 sources noted. That doesn't mean anything, John. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
This remark was a
no
death
rules.
Knell. Tim Weiner wrote in the legal.
Weiner.
His award-winning history of the CIA. Weiner then quoted a line from a speech that former CIA director Richard Helms gave.
There's no rules.
If we are not believed, we have no purpose.
And that's the truth.
And that's the truth. If the what are they, commander-in-chief doesn't believe this, then why are they even working? Send him home.
He is a fucking idiot.
There's no rules. And that's the truth.
It's unbelievable.
How are you?
Newsweek had an article about, it may have been a preview of Jacob Weinstein, is that his name? His book. And the reason, like we always say, this guy's like George Costanza.
Yeah.
If he did the opposite of what he wanted to do, he'd be the greatest president in the history of the world.
Right.
But this other guy says, no, it's this, and you mentioned it earlier, what is it, the Tourette syndrome? No, the... Tolstoy.
Tourette.
That's a very interesting question.
That... Nothing is going to change this guy's mind once it's made up. And it's a chimp brain making up his mind for him.
Pardon me?
That's an issue. That's a problem. And just that alone, he should be impeachable for that.
Damn the consequences.
Yeah, damn the consequences. I'm right, you're wrong. Fuck off.
It's perfectly reasonable.
What a dope.
I see it all the time.
It's the greatest American tragedy in the history of the world, John.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's fuzzy math. That needs to be fixed.
You had a clip, didn't you? You brought a clip in. Oh, you know what? I brought some clips in about Heath Ledger, but we're past the 20-minute mark on that, right?
Yeah.
You brought a clip in, didn't you?
Of what?
Mitt Romney.
Oh, Romney, yeah.
Romney. Now, here's what John did. This is great. Romney was on some radio show. Was it a radio show? What was it? TV show?
Yeah.
So, John... This is brilliant. John calls in, right?
Yeah.
And he says he gets by the screeners by playing an Arnold Schwarzenegger soundboard.
Right.
To talk to Romney. So then they tell Romney, the governor of California wants to ask you a few questions. So John starts playing the soundboard for him, and here's what happened. Here's what happened.
Governor Mitt Romney, how are you?
Hi. How are you?
I'm just fine, Governor. How are you doing today?
Good. Good.
What can I do for you?
First, I would like to just get to know you.
Well, we've had the chance.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions, and I want to have them answered immediately.
Go right ahead and shoot.
Bipartisanship always. My principles of leadership, progress over politics.
Well, I don't think anyone can disagree with that.
But I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine!
Stop whining.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
You lack discipline.
Stop being such a pussy. Stop it!
Shut up! Shut up!
Goodbye.
I'll call you back.
So when did he hang up? When
I don't
did
know.
Hang
I,
up?
I, Arnold just lost it. I don't know what happened. I pressed the wrong button, and I pressed the Arnold rant button, And he just went just crazy. I don't know what happened.
But I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine.
Stop whining.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah. He said he was going to call him back, though, at the end. Oh.
Yeah, you know what? I think we're going to have to play those Gibson clips because... under normal circumstances, I'd say forget it. Let's move on. But Gibson, I don't know if you know this. Gibson apologized.
Oh yeah, that
which is worth the whole deal. So Heath Ledger dies. Gibson has a show that night. This is a guy from Fox. I mean, the guy looks
got the goofy fucking hairdo.
Right. Talk about homophobic. This guy should be homophobic because.
He's
definitely
be.
Living in the closet, if you ask me.
Yeah, he's living La Vida Loca.
That he's heterosexual. He's just pretend, John. It's pretend.
Yeah.
But here's what he had to say on his show the night Heath Ledger, or the day Heath Ledger died.
Blinding you with his razor-sharp acumen, John Gibson.
Well, since we're going to be working together, I reckon it's time we start drinking together.
You don't go out there and fish.
You don't know nothing about it.
Boys, you found a way to make the town pass up there.
We was fishing buddies.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Well, he found out how to quit you. Christine, don't be upset. Hi, everybody. It's John Gibson.
I'm very upset.
Actor Heath Ledger found dead today in his New York City apartment, face down in the bedroom, surrounded by prescription drugs. A confidant telling TMZ, and TMZ is right about everything, about 90% of the time, that he had a serious drug abuse problem. So it appears to be an accidental overdose. Could be a suicide. Listen, November 07, he was talking about, and this is a 28-year-old guy, saying, well, you know, it's a whole, give me a whole different thought about death. What? You're 28 years old, you're thinking about death? Give me a break.
Maybe he was a deep thinker.
Maybe he was a weirdo.
I'm thinking about it right now.
Okay, anyway, Heath Ledger died, and I'm sure people will be upset. All you Brokeback Mountain fans, you want to give Christine a call, she'll be happy to talk to you.
You are a meathead.
What a dick.
You motherfucker.
What a dick.
I know. This...
And he wants Heath Ledger to give him a break.
Yeah.
For thinking about death at age 28. Give John Gibson a break.
Who should be thinking about death.
Yeah. And then the other thing, we talked about the FCC earlier. I find what he said indecent.
Yeah.
I find it patently offensive.
Well, we just got to start like a family.
Where's
some
the
sort
fine?
Of family group and send one email and they'll shut him down.
Where's the fine on this cocksucker? So I didn't bring it. I had two other clips. He did a show the next night and he wouldn't apologize. And he was even more of an asshole. And then he did a show the next night. He still wouldn't apologize. And then somebody got to him. I don't know what happened. If his boss took him in the room and said, you want your fucking job, you better goddamn apologize. Yeah. So then here is his apology like 4 days later.
Now it's time for my word. I have received comments regarding remarks I made on my radio show the other night after the shocking death of Heath Ledger. I'm sorry that some took my comments as anti-gay and insensitive. I'm aware that Ledger has a family and many fans who were grief-stricken by his sudden death. As I speak, a crowd is gathering at the funeral home where Ledger services will be held. Those who knew him say he was a good actor and a loving dad, and what happened to him was terrible, but was evidently an accident. Once again, to anyone offended by my comments, I'm sorry. But I'm also sorry that Heath Ledger is no longer alive and with us. That is my word.
You motherfucker!
Yeah, so totally insincere. And
I'm sorry
for the people who took his comments, who took them, John.
Yeah.
Interpreted them.
Because that's not what I meant.
Yeah, he didn't mean that at all. This is a news guy. Is he a comedian now? I don't know.
Yeah,
is that supposed to be funny?
That's what cracks me up. These guys, they're into infotainment.
Infotainment. I like that. Infotainment.
Is Phil supposed to come tonight?
Yeah, he's here. Hold on. Let me go get the door.
Jesus Christ.
Still, still getting coming back.
Still,
Phil, you walk too much.
You walk too much. You know what? You got a big mouth. You talk too much. You got a big mouth. You talk too much.
You know, you've got a big mouth. You know, you got a big mouth. You know, you just talk too much.
You talk too much.
You talk too much.
You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is over.
No, not quite. Not quite.
Still got to get to Phil.
Not quite.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott. It's good to be here tonight.
Now,
I must admit I'm doing a cold read on my dudes. News,
Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
Before I get to my first story, yes, I will be doing a cold read tonight. I didn't have time. My intern put this together.
The fuck?
And I haven't been able to read it yet.
Sucking.
Let me get to the first story. Our first story tonight, John.
Disabled spy satellite threatens Earth. A large U.S. spy satellite has lost power and could hit the Earth in late February or March,
government officials said.
The satellite, which no longer can be controlled, could contain hazardous materials, and it is unknown where on the planet it might come down. An official who spoke on a condition of anonymity said, I hope it lands on George W. Bush. Next story, John. Man breaks record for the longest time submerged in ice and smallest nuts. A man who calls himself the Tantic Master broke his own world record by standing engulfed in ice for 72 minutes. Wim Hof, 48, stood on a Manhattan street in a clear container filled with ice for an hour and 12 minutes Saturday. Hof said he survived by controlling his body temperature through tantric medication. Meditation. Tantra is an Eastern tradition of ritual and meditation said to bring followers closer to their chosen deities. Next story, John.
I'm eating liquor.
In related news, a man attempts to become more vile and hated than the W. This is out of Spain. A speeding motorist who killed a teenage cyclist is suing the boy's parents over damage to his luxury car.
Oh, my God.
Iniestez Arellano, 17, died instantly on August 2004 when businessman Thomas Delgado's Audi 88 crashed into him at 100 miles per hour near Haro in northern Spain. Arellano was not wearing reflective clothing or a helmet, the ministry report said, as the sun had set when he crossed the path of Delgado's car from the side road. A regional court found both parties at fault and closed the case. Delgado, whose insurance company paid Arellano's parents $48,000 in compensation for their son's life, filed a suit in late 2006 to recover the $29,000 in damages to his car and car rental costs. It's the only way I have to claim my money back, Delgado was quoted as saying.
Is he Italian?
Arellano's parents were shocked. It's the final straw, a stab in the back. Arellano's mother, Rosa Trinidad, said, according to El Pais. Before the lawsuit, we thought the poor guy would find it hard to live all the rest of his life, with the thought of having crushed our son to death. Next story, John. Teacher accused of offering female student an athletic massage and then ejaculating on her gets off again when a judge throws out his confession. Next story, John. Pennsylvania church decides to just save everyone some time. Pennsylvania church decides to just save everyone some time and will be holding confessions at bars. A pastor plans to put teams of chaplains in local bars in the central Pennsylvania town so he can lend a sympathetic ear to patrons who may need one. The chaplain won't preach against drinking or evangelize when the program starts at the Market Cross Pub. We're simply going to be there to help anybody who wants it. Sometimes people really just want somebody they can talk to who is not going to be judgmental. Be sympathetic. Next story, John. If you are a young man attending the high school and your parents are planning on relocating to Florida, here's the good news. Florida is now leading the country in teachers having sex with students. Next story, John.
What?
Teen attempts to hijack Southwest Airlines so he can crash into a Hannah Montana concert. A teenage passenger was detained after a Southwest Airlines flight from Los Angeles landed in Nashville. Nashville television station, citing unnamed sources, said the teen unsuccessfully tried to hijack the plane to Lafayette, Louisiana, and crash it into a building where a Hannah Montana concert was to be performed.
Hannah Montana.
Where's her love? Spokesman Brad King said the passenger was removed from Flight 284 Tuesday night by authorities at Nashville International Airport. She declined to provide further details. It's really coming apart at the seams, isn't it? Next story, John. Jamie Lynn Spears will give her baby to her mother in order to concentrate on her career, since the mother is such an incredible parent. Next story, John. Airship. Shit. Crashes cock and suck. Goddammit. Tourette's.
That is one big pile of shit.
The airship belonging to explorer Jean-Louis Antoine was being tested before heading to an Arctic to measure the thickness of a pack of ice, but high winds ripped it from its moorings and slammed it in shit into a house, wrapping the canopy around the fuck roof while the cabin and engine fell in the garden. No one was hurt. Shit! The town in southeast France shares its name with the syndrome, which can make sufferers shout fuck swear words at random. Next story, John.
You motherfucker!
Iowa couple who find holes in the ice on pond near their home come to only logical conclusion and blame it on extraterrestrials. In related news, Stephenville, Texas, trying to become UFO landing site after sighting last week. In related news, Air Force confirms that the only aliens in Texas are Mexicans. Next story, John. I'm sorry, that's the news. I'm Phil McCracken with AKZ Total Dog Nonsense.
All right, thanks, Phil.
Short newscast tonight, but I thought I delivered it very dynamically.
All right.
With a lot of energy.
All right, get the fuck
That's what I'm known for.
Bye-bye.
All right, then.
Okay. See you later. Bye-bye now. What?
Yeah.
Okay. What the
What did he say?
I don't know.
We'll have to listen to that on playback.
Yeah, I don't know what he said. Hey, man. Is he out there shooting?
I don't know.
He better not be shooting my tires, I swear to God.
So how did we do on time there, John? What are we at? What are we on?
2:31
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
We got to figure out how to get the show down to 1:30
It's not me,
man.
We got
to lop an hour off this thing.
It's not me. It's you're always talking.
Maybe we can do some shit like Keith and the girl do.
What's that?
Where they post like the podcast and then they post the outtakes.
Oh, yeah. Do we have any outtakes?
Well, what we do is we got 2.5 hours, right?
Right.
You and I would have to lop an hour out of it.
Oh.
And then post the hour and a half.
That's
and then
a lot of work.
If you really wanted to listen to the rest of it, here's the outtakes feed. Or we just put the outtakes in the forum or something.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that is a lot of work.
Yeah.
All right, if we have an intern, that'll be their job.
Right. Or we just shorten the show. How about that? We've been trying to shorten the show since the first day.
We have. You know, one way to shorten the show is do it every day. If we did it every day.
Right.
Then we just do an hour a day.
Yeah.
It would be, you know. But then your weekly commitment would be 5 hours.
Yeah.
Instead of 2.5 hours.
Right. All right, let's get out of here, man.
All right, man.
This has been episode 118 with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh,
I keep forgetting to mention this. Spike and Rachel.
Oh, yeah.
Rachel made it on the homepage of Dig.
Yeah, the front page,
the
man.
Front
in the
page.
Top 10.
GameGirls.com. I guess she writes articles for GameGirls.com. And the article she wrote, the seven hottest password panties?
Panties, yeah.
Or some shit like that?
Game girl panties.
Made it to the front page of Dig.
And she pulls her pants down, her undies down.
Oh, I didn't
There's
actually
one
click
where she...
on the article, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Was it hot?
Well, no, they don't show like all her pictures, but there's a link to her pictures on her MySpace.
Uh-huh.
And there's a scene, one of her pulling her panties almost all the way down, looking in the mirror.
Oh.
And,
I see. Well, I find that patently offensive.
You didn't before when we were talking about 2 hours ago. What do you mean?
What do you mean 2 hours ago? This is the first time we talked about it.
What?
We talked about it 2 weeks ago on the phone or whenever it was. And we keep forgetting to mention it. To give a big hearty congratulations.
Hardy.
To Rachel. And Spike, he... obviously, there'll be some fallout for Spike and Rachel from this whole episode.
Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
If people start clicking around enough,
no doubt,
they'll eventually click on Spike and Rachel.
Right.
Right on.
That's it. Yeah, that's
that
great.
It. So if
that's
you go
it.
To Dig and search for panties,
the
number seven and panties, and you'll pull up her.
Panties, not panties.
Panties. Yeah. That's
panties.
What I said.
Panties.
Panties.
Like
yeah.
pansies.
No, not pansies. Panties.
Panties. Panties. Hey, how you doing? All right. You've been listening to Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're out of here. 118. Done.
Later.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
You're listening to John and Scott. On Total Talk Nonsense.